This holiday season, the Comics Podcast Network is proud to partner with the Hero Initiative to sponsor the Heroes for the Holidays Fund Drive. The Hero Initiative creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who may need emergency medical aid, financial support for the essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. Hero gives all comic fans the ability to thank and support the wonderful comic writers, pencilers, inkers, colorists, and letterers who have created some of our favorite comic book stories. The Comic Podcast Network encourages our listeners and fellow comic book fans to remember the Hero Initiative during this holiday season and to consider making a donation to this organization. You can be a hero for the holidays by visiting www.comicspodcast.com/hero to find out how to donate to the Hero Initiative, or you can go directly to Hero by visiting www.heroinitiative.org for more information on this great organization. Thank you and have a wonderful holiday season.
Welcome to episode 54 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as a rotating panel of guests and myself, Ian Levinstein, discuss whatever comes to mind time after time here on Comic Timing. It's a brand new year, and it's time to wrap up the old one. Jen Capelli, Chris Johnson, Brent Cassina, and myself go in-depth on the year in review for Marvel 2007. There was some good, there was some bad, and there was some crap. We discuss it all on this episode. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 54 of Comic Timing. This is Skrull Ian Levinstein, by the way, just to make that clear. We're joined here by the Skrull co-host, not co-host, co-host, Brent Cassina. What's up, Brent?
Skrull, what's up?
Dude, you sounded more like Grover from Sesame Street.
My Skrull voice box was changing, so I had to flip it on.
Oh, okay.
It sounded like real Brent.
That makes sense. That makes sense to me. So what's going on, Brett? Haven't talked to you in a while. How are things?
I don't know. Ian seems like I didn't talk to Skrull Ian last night. Real Brent talked to real Ian, so it has been a while since we got off the mothership, eh?
Yeah, well, actually, contrary to popular belief, Skrull Ian actually has a bigger room than regular Ian.
Well, it's because you have that secret interdimensional doorway.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Oh, this is going to be fun. And joining us also on this episode... Last time we got Chris 616. This time we've got the other one. We've got Skrull Chris Johnson, and we've got Skrull Jen Capelli from Amazing Spider-Cast. What's up, guys?
Hey.
I just want to say that I'm actually a clone, not a Skrull.
Damn it.
I'm definitely the ultimate clone Scarlet Spider chick that's kind of Peter but wants to be called Spider-Woman or whatever.
Well, would you rather her be called Spider-Man?
This is true. Excellent
Spider
point.
Woman.
Whoa, man.
Hey.
Just put the emphasis in the right place. That's all you got to do. All right. Well, we're doing the year-end wrap-up for Marvel this time, and this is the second year we've been doing this. Last year, it was pretty much the same, so this time, let's do it, and this is what I have to say. It's time, once again, for the first of our year-end wrap-up episodes, beginning with Marvel. Some controversy to be had this year for Marvel, with deaths of beloved characters, major shifts in storylines, and even a few character restarts. How did the ramifications of Civil War and World War Hulk affect the Marvel Universe to you? Were you a fan of the replacement Fantastic Four? Better yet, did you like them more than the original group? Do you view the battle between Reg and Anti-Reg to be a positive story point, or is it time to switch gears? With the death of Captain America, is Iron Man the new face of the Marvel Universe? Is the X-Verse too mired in crossovers, or did Messiah Complex and Endangered Species give you what you were looking for? What was your favorite Marvel movie of the year, and what was the biggest flop? What storylines are you most looking forward to in 2008? Who were your most beloved creative team of 2007? Of course, you can list your favorite and least favorite Marvel comic of the year, including miniseries and for the kicks. Which new series was a sight for sore eyes, and which one left you scratching your head? And finally, most importantly, who is a Skrull? Well, let's start this episode off nice and good here. And I'm going to start with, I guess, favorite ongoing series of 2007. And we will begin this with the guy who's never actually been on the show before, Chris.
All right. Well, I'm going to break this up into two categories. I'm going to say which of the Spider-Man series is my favorite, since he's my favorite character.
Okay.
And then I'm also going to say which of the other Marvel stuff is out there, because I don't just read Spider-Man. Right. I actually, 2007 was actually a pretty big year, because before November, well, this is earlier than 07, but before November of 06, I've been getting trades, and with starting up my podcast, I realized that I couldn't wait for the trade to talk about what was going on in Spider-Man's universe. I had to be up to the minute on the know-how. Mm-hmm. And so I started getting floppies again, and I was going to just get Spider Tiles with a title here or there, and that went straight to hell. And so I got a whole bunch of other stuff from Marvel, DC, Independent, and a bunch of new series I picked up, and I'll talk about those later, I guess. But for out of the Spider-Man universes, my favorite title was Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, written by Peter David, because he has an incredible ability on that title to have both the humor of Spider-Man and then also have a lot of the heart to it, too, especially when Back in Black happened, because he was able to have such fun occurrences as Spider-Man, Sandman, and some emo kid named Dennis hanging out in a van talking about which Scooby-Doo characters they were, and then also have Spider-Man have a heart-to-heart with Sandman about his Uncle Ben.
Okay, after listening to your show, just like the first two episodes you guys were talking about that, Dennis is now my favorite character ever.
Yes!
Excellent. Yes.
He's our second kind of mascot-type character. Him and the Hypno Hustler, we just, they're our homeboys.
Yeah.
Just remember, you can go left, you can go right, or you can go down.
Yes.
Yeah, Hypno Hustler was like the 06 mascot, and then 07 would probably go to Dennis.
Okay.
Because he just came out of nowhere and just stole our hearts.
What's your favorite non-Spider-Man series of the year?
I'm going to give it to a title that was canceled before its time. It was very offbeat from normal Marvel fare, but that was part of what made it such a great title, such a joy to read every month. Bottom of my stack, because I wanted to just leave it for the last, because I knew I was going to enjoy every minute of it, and that's Irredeemable Ant-Man. Robert Kirkman, most of the, except for two, I think were drawn by Phil Hester. It was great just because the main character was a complete douchebag who would try to bang the girlfriend of his best friend who just died on his grave. Like, just crap like that.
Ooh.
Just going all through it, and just seeing how when he got into relationships where you sort of saw him starting to open up and start to actually be like a human being. And then when the series ended at issue 12, yeah, he's still an asshole, but that's why you love him. Eric O'Grady, Ant-Man, you know. And I was really bummed when I heard that was canceled, because I thought it was just such a, and I know this is what kind of pisses me off is the whole sales, that whole politics of comics is that, you know, you've got Civil War selling, I don't know, what was 300,000 copies, and that was like crap. And then Irredeemable Ant-Man gets canceled because it's only selling like 20,000. And that just sucked.
No, I agree with that. I didn't read that many issues of it because it was kind of hard for me to get into it at first, but it's one of those series.
Well, yeah, because
I think I'm going to pick it up in Digest eventually.
Yeah, and it is, you have to have a certain kind of frame of humor in mind, because you are dealing with a guy who each issue is finding new ways to just come off as an ass. And some people just get turned off by that kind of a character, and that's completely understandable why some people wouldn't like it.
It's as I like to call it, it's the Booster Gold way of living.
Yeah, yeah, I can see him and Booster Gold. I can see the correlation between the two, yeah.
Yeah, if there was ever another Marvel versus DC, they'd have to team up.
That would be fun to see, because I'm reading the Booster Gold series over at DC and enjoying that, so that would be cool to see.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Brent, let's go to you. What was your favorite of the year?
My favorite of the year probably have to be The Initiative. I really like that book. I was surprised about how good it was and how much I wanted to read the next issue. And what I also liked about it is that it didn't have, like, it's got some ongoing arc for the storylines, but Dan Slott's not afraid to put it in, like, a four-issue storyline at the beginning, and then two-issue, like, World War Hulk tie-in, and then now we're getting into, like, the annual, and we're learning about the characters and stuff like that. So it's just kind of exciting to see where everything's going and to see all these new characters. And basically, it's the state of the Marvel Universe as it is right now. Other than, like, Iron Man and The Order, it's the one book that can give you the biggest view. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. I think that 2007 in some ways was the year for new characters. when it comes to Marvel, because a lot of new titles started up with either characters or new takes on characters that you've never really seen before and took off from there, like The Initiative and Runaways continuing. I know that it's not technically new, but still young characters. Young Avengers was still around for the early parts of 2007, and Ant-Man and that sort of stuff. A whole bunch of new youthful characters being written in really good books. Were there any other titles of mention that you wanted to mention, Brent? Like any side titles that were favorites of yours?
Captain America is probably the other favorite title that I have right now. New Avengers is also pretty good with the whole Skrull thing, but the Hood stuff's kind of getting me down.
Yeah.
You know, those are the ones that I really look forward to reading to the most. So.
Sweet. And let's go to Jen. Here we go. Give us your faves.
I got to say, out of the Spidey titles, I thought Amazing was one of the better Civil War tie-ins, and it deserves major kudos for that. Back in Black went all right, but it kind of dragged on a little bit, and then even into One More Day. I don't really want to go there, but all in all, I think I'd give it to Amazing for both art and, you know, a good last run for JMS, and I enjoyed the Civil War tie-in probably more than any other tie-in other than the other seven books, like, that of the main series. As kind of my honorable mention, I gotta give it to Cable and Deadpool. Like, they're getting axed. It's been my favorite book for the last while, next to all the Spider-Man stuff. And I'm bummed to see it go, but I'm crossing my fingers for the 2008 apparent announcement coming up. So, you know, I don't know if it's gonna go out on so much of a bang. It's kind of been on a downward slope for the last few months. The first part of the year was awesome. Love what they did in Civil War for Cable and Deadpool. And, you know, other than that, it was nice to hear Brent mention Avengers Initiative. That was my big find of the year, for sure. And, so there's a lot of good stuff. This is my year for really branching out. Like, it was nothing but Spidey for pretty much my entire life until just the beginning of this year. Civil War really kind of broadened my horizons, and I started picking up things because of PAL influence or whatnot. And even into the X-Books, I started picking up new X-Men, and that really impressed me. It's really picked up in the last while.
I'm actually kind of glad you mentioned Cable Deadpool, because that is my favorite. Well, one of my favorites, obviously, because of Deadpool being in it. But one of my main issues with it over the last couple of months has been, well, they killed off Cable for a while. And the name of the title was Cable Deadpool.
Exactly.
Like, how do you have a book when one of the main characters is dead? Oh, wait, never mind. That's Captain America. crap. You know, I think I just caught myself there. But still, though, when it's supposed to be, like, based on this whole buddy cop type thing, and then you only have one half of the whole, it's a transition that's kind of difficult to make.
I thought that they had potential to really pull it off, in all truth. Because, you know, as you mentioned, Captain America. Because if you have a decent enough supporting cast and that you can kind of divert the attention from that one relationship that the book's based on, But I don't like how they turned it into this team-up book. It really turned it into a novelty. If they had just... you know what I would have really loved to see is just old-school Deadpool, maybe revert completely... with Cable's death, just completely revert back to being a full-on assassination-type guy. Like, just completely fall back in the old habits, start maybe smacking old Al around some more, see her show up a couple times, some nice throwbacks to the past, and then have the book end.
Have a stakeout at B. Arthur's house.
Yeah, totally. I mean, who wouldn't?
I can imagine the title of that book would have been something like The Golden Girl.
Oh. Why didn't they bring back... I know they brought T-Ray back a couple times. They should be ending the series with stuff like Weasel and Al and him, you know, instead of Cable with Scratched Out and all these kind of side stories with bigger characters.
Yeah. So half the year was good.
Exactly. I would say the first half was definitely awesome.
Cool. Some of my favorites of the year, I'd say number one on my list would actually have to be probably New Avengers, actually, because that kind of surprised me. I would put my... You know what? Let me put Avengers as a whole in there, because Mighty Avengers have been great, too. But I can't just say Mighty Avengers, because Mighty Avengers have been so late that I think, what was it, six issues have come out so far? In the last, 10 months now or something like that?
Yeah, since March.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you finally did point that out to me, Brent, that I was being wrong about that, about it being late. because holy dear God, is it late now?
Ween.
Yes, you ween, yay! But yeah.
But apparently Mark Bagley, who's on the next arc, has all his six issues finished, so doesn't look like that's gonna be late.
Yeah, he finished them just in time to leave Marvel.
Marvel should put those out to a month.
Dude, that would be awesome. They can, obviously, because, I mean, they are...
They have two solicited for March.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but not the other months.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It would be a nice way to catch things up, though, but I do like the team aspect in New Avengers, and I like that they've been, you know, based out of the, you know, the Starbucks / Doctor Strange's house. And, I don't know, like, the whole Skrull thing has just made it such a great book. You know, they're constantly doubting each other, and yet they still have to work together. Specifically, Luke Cage, who sort of became leader after Captain America left, he's got to be wondering. I mean, he even started doubting his own wife. And that's kind of difficult to do when you have a kid. Because, you know, if you're looking at her thinking, is that kid really a kid? And is this really my wife? That's going to start grating on you after a while. And that's why we do have a storyline coming up where there might be a change in their relationship. I certainly hope it doesn't happen because I love them being together. But who knows what's going to happen with that. Spidey has been great. The characterization, Bendis just does a wonderful job with him, as we brought up many times on the show. And in Mighty Avengers, I love that Thought Balloons are back.
Nice.
Ugh.
Why?
I hate you.
Ah, come on, man.
He hasn't used them correctly. It's just, hey.
Yeah, but
she's hot.
He's using them.
Hang her.
He's using them as Thought Balloons.
Yeah, I just think it's lame. We're better off without him.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, so you don't want to see inside their heads, what you're saying?
No.
All right. Well, I kind of dig it, so that's why I'm enjoying it. Other titles that I was really a fan of, and this one I have to mention because I'm very sad to see it go, as it looks like The Order is getting canceled. And I have been a huge fan of The Order. The Barry Kitson art has been terrific. What's up?
Where did you read that that's being canceled?
Actually, I heard it from David Price. David Price had, I believe, a listener that was hanging out with the writers at the Marvel Summit, and they brought it up to that person, that The Order is getting canceled with issue 10. I hope it's not true. If it is true, I'm going to be really annoyed, because that has been one of my favorite books out of Marvel for the past six issues that have come out so far, and it's wonderful. It really is. I think it kind of got sidetracked by the whole legal dispute over the name at first. You know, it was going to be Champions, but they were forced to change to The Order, and I think that kind of doomed the book in some ways.
That has been a really good book, and I haven't read 5 or 6 yet, but 1 through 4 have been fantastic.
Yeah,
I thought
definitely, yeah, and I love the whole, like, you know, like, interview aspect of it, and like I said, the art is just so great. Barry Kitson, I've been such a fan of his ever since the Legion stuff he did, and even before that. His stuff on The Order has just been lights out. Other ones that I want to mention quickly here, Captain America, obviously, and I can't mention the best of 07 without mentioning X-Factor. Dear God, that is the best X-book right now. They could just cancel everything else. I don't even freaking care. I'm liking the other books, but X-Factor is my X-book.
Yeah, but wow. It's got that Peter David curse.
What? Oh, so you think it'll be canceled before everybody else? That's the curse of Peter David?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
She-Hulk is after that, sure.
No! Bastard. You're not supposed to say it out loud, Brent. Then they can hear you and, like, say, oh, you know what? Hey, that Brancaccino, he's got a good idea. We should totally go by that.
Like anybody from Marvel listens to this.
Yes, everybody from Marvel listens to this show, damn you. Especially in the Marvel year-end wrap-up. I mean, come on. So, yeah, those are my favorites. Let's actually move over to Civil War and the ramifications of Civil War. Obviously, thanks to the lateness, we did get the last issue of Civil War in 07, correct? I'm remembering that right?
Yeah, yeah. 6 and 7 were
right.
In
okay.
07.
So we can talk about the ramifications of the end of Civil War and, I guess, how it led into the initiative. Was this the right direction for Marvel Comics? Because the initiative has been going on pretty much all year long. You've been seeing being part of the 50-state initiative or being trained over at the initiative facilities. And a lot of characters had major character changes because of this. The forming of the Mighty Avengers, obviously, was a part of the Civil War. Ms. Marvel getting a huge kick and actually being the leader of the Mighty Avengers, even though Iron Man's on the team, which is kind of awkward. But what was your take on the end of Civil War and the ramifications thereof? We'll start with you, Brent.
I thought the end of Civil War was it was okay. I mean, it was kind of weak. I still think that Captain America should have died in Civil War number 7 because really that's the proper ending to that story, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Whether or not the Red Skull was behind it at all or not, he should have died there because that would have been the true emotional climax other than him giving up. But I will have to hand it to Mark Miller that, you know, the firefighters and the paramedics and stuff telling Cap to stop, look at all the destruction you're causing, was a pretty good moment. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
As the overall direction of the universe, I'm really happy with the registration right now. I'm picking up more Marvel titles than ever. Originally, I was just getting New Avengers and Spider-Man and Wolverine. Now I'm getting Mighty Avengers. I'm getting Thor. I'm getting Avengers Initiative. I'm getting The Order. I'm reading the X-Books for the Messiah Complex crossover, which is going great. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm spreading out further into that. So it's been a lot for me as a Marvel reader. You know, I've been picking up Iron Man. I'm loving Iron Man now. You know, it's a book that doesn't get enough credit, I think. So I think they went in the right direction because it got me really hooked on their universe. Whereas last year I was much more of primarily a DC fan.
Yeah.
And Hulk, I'm picking up Hulk now, even though I'm dropping it now that it's Hercules or whatever. But that's a different thing.
It's the Incredible Hercules.
Right.
Actually, that's kind of a good point that you brought up because you've always kind of been a DC guy, right?
Yeah. And as a universe, like if they had lost, you know, if they didn't have the registration, what would the Marvel Universe be? It'd be the same.
Right. Right.
And to have such an earth-shattering event, you know, certainly tensions would still be there, but I don't think the universe would be nearly as interesting as it is now.
Yeah, they're making changes and they're sticking to them, which is something you do not find ever in comic books. Because, I mean, come on, even look at DC right now. Hey, we got rid of the multiverse back in the 80s. You know what? Let's bring the multiverse back. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I liked what happened in Infinite Crisis, and I liked what happened in 52. But just the fact that they went back on this major change just proves that nothing ever stays finite in comic books, period. Every single change ends up being changed back at some point or another.
Well, you've got Super Baby Prime starting to destroy Earth, so...
Yeah. So who knows where that's going to leave us. Chris, what was your take on the whole Civil War and ramification stuff?
Well, I have to say I hated the miniseries. I like the concept of it, having a Civil War among the superheroes with this whole Registration Act. Mm-hmm. I like the concept, and I think that it was great of Marvel to change the universe and to actually stick to it for once. I thought that was great, but some of the things along the way in Civil War, I just hated, like Spider-Man unmasking. I don't think Peter would ever do that.
Yeah.
There are so many things that could, and you know what? If they proved it, because Ame got shot. So, and I think that Peter's too smart to do something that stupid, because I'm sure he would have known what would have happened. I mean, it could have been a supervillain, some thug he put away 2 years ago. It was going to bite him in the ass. And so I thought that he was too smart for that, and he would never have done that. Mm-hmm. For Thor to show up and then turn out to be like a clone, that sucked.
Clone.
And then for them to bring back Captain Marvel, even though I do give them credit for bringing Captain Marvel back with his cancer and not bringing him back, you know, fully powered, able, you know, he's not going to die anytime soon, but just to bring him back just to be the warden for the Negative Zone jail, I thought was weak and stupid. And then for Captain America to surrender at the end of Civil War 7 and then get blown away in the next issue, I thought was just weak. I agree with Brent that he should have died in Civil War 7. And even though I like that in Cap 25 he did die a hero's death by, you know, throwing himself in front of that police officer and taking the bullet. So he did die a hero's death, but still, I think it was just not really kind of the character to just have him surrender and then get killed off.
Did it make it feel like an afterthought to you that Cap died in his own book? I mean, understandable since, well, Captain America, of course he'd die in Captain America, but Civil War was supposed to be this, like, earth-shattering, changing event, and the major event of Civil War happens after it's done.
Yeah, you know, I think what they did is they were like, okay, this is selling really good. Mm-hmm. How can we keep the sales going even after it's done?
Yeah.
I know. Let's take the big end of the series moment and stick it in another book. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they did. Because it should have happened in Civil War 7, but it didn't.
I would have liked to have seen a couple issues of the trial of Captain America, you know?
Well, yeah.
Instead of us getting it in the confession and stuff.
Yeah.
have him die in issue 30 instead of issue 25.
I would have
been
Although
we're exploring the ramifications of, you know, being against Civil War and that, you know, America doesn't have a Captain America because he's in prison rather than being dead.
Yeah.
And although he's dead, Captain America is still a really good title.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And had you have told me at the beginning of 07 that I would be reading a Captain America book without a Captain America and enjoying it more than I did when Captain America was around, I would have looked at you like you had seven heads.
Yeah, I agree with you there because I just recently caught up. I read issues 1 through 25, you know, just recently of Captain America. I'd never read them before. Mm-hmm. I started with 25 and went on from there. And I got to say, I'm enjoying it a lot more now than those initial issues. They're good, but something about Steve Rogers, the way Brubaker wrote him, he's all right. I mean, but it's so much more interesting now without him.
Well, a good way to describe it was the early issues, and pretty much everybody I asked when they were coming out, even though they were great, the early issues felt like a really good episode of 24. He was sneaking around. He was on these missions.
They were just regular Cap issues.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and like, I mean, but he was on missions. That's what he was. It was entirely about the mission. When they found out about Winter Soldier, things changed a little bit, but we didn't get that much character development out of Steve Rogers. We've gotten more character development out of Steve Rogers in his death than we did while he was alive.
I think so, and even Bucky.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially Bucky, since obviously he's...
Sharon Carter's gotten, like, a big boost from this, you know.
Yeah.
We're dealing with her being mind-controlled and all this other stuff. So she's a lot more interesting, and who thought that some no-name S.H.I.E.L.D. agent would be one of the best characters in a book that I had never read before.
Yeah. And Chris, actually going back, I know that you just said that you didn't like the whole Civil War miniseries, but again, you thought the ramifications afterwards were good?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I thought the concept was interesting, and for them to not, like, chicken out and, like, get rid of at the end, like, in mourning of Captain America's death, you know, like Iron Man seeing their ways or something like that, that they actually kept with it. So I like that they're sticking to their guns with this thing.
Yeah.
Although I can't help but thinking that they didn't, like, make even more money because they were able to slap the initiative on everything, but still.
Hey, well, whatever works, works, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Couldn't have slapped the initiative on Ant-Man, could you?
Oh, boy. Hey, well, they did have him coming out of the Hulk's nose.
But that was just for, you know, one issue, and it jumped up quite a bit, but that was still just a one-issue deal.
Yeah.
So I wish it would happen at the beginning so that, well, it did start in, like, before, in 2006, before the whole initiative deal. So, yeah, but still afterwards, they could have done something.
I will say one thing about the initiative slash Civil War that I certainly would have liked to have seen better, and it's something I brought up, I think, back when we were first originally talking about Civil War and comic timing. We never got Iron Man's side until after Civil War was done. Had the Iron Man book been on time while Civil War was coming out, I might have actually been able to sympathize with the pro-Reg side a little more than I did. That's how I'm looking at it. Like, it presented his opinion, but it was after the fact, when it didn't even matter anymore.
How many times did a simple delay completely ruin the take of a story? And I'm not just saying that as a bitter fan, right? Like, it's... Honestly, it did the same thing to Amazing. Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah, well, think of Mighty Avengers and New Avengers. New Avengers is done with the symbiote arc already. Mighty Avengers, it hasn't even started yet.
Well, and, exactly. And that symbiote arc is going to be severely hurt by New Avengers.
Oh, sure.
Basically, they gave it away, and we know who did it. So, those first two issues of Mighty Avengers, you know, people are just going to read them and go, you know, this sucks. You know, it's probably going to be like a well-written issue, but we're going to know what happens, so that ruins the story.
Yeah.
Well, for me, for one, I'm not reading New Avengers, and I wasn't reading Mighty Avengers, but when I heard Mark Bagley was going to be on the book, I instantly ordered it. Like, I don't know what's going on with any of that stuff. I didn't know. Like, I saw the whole symbiote Wolverine cover and all that, so I knew that something was going on, but I don't know, like, who's behind it or anything like that. So I, for one, I'm going to be interested to see what happens.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's still an interesting story. It's just, you know, when you give away the story at the end, that's just not a good way to go. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, and Bendis was kind of in a tight spot because, you know, he was in a story and he had to tell it, so he couldn't really, you know, like, jump to some new story. He had to go through with it. So, yeah, delays are... I'm one of those people that delays don't really bother me because it'll come out eventually, but it does hurt creatively somewhat.
Well, at least it was, it wasn't like somebody other than Bendis giving away his story, because Bendis writes them both.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That's true.
I just hope that the next Mighty Avengers artist after Bagley is somebody who can, you know, keep up with Lin-El Yu and put out a book a month.
I'm going to call it here. I think it's going to be Kitson. If they're canceling the order, they're going to have to put him somewhere, because he is a big name artist, and I'd love to see
him.
He's
an exclusive now, isn't he?
Exactly. He has an exclusive. They got to put him somewhere. So put him over to the Mighty Avengers. I think it would be a wonderful fit. You know, he's done
team
books.
Pretty much monthly with the order. Yeah. Just had like one fill-in, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and plus he's done team books. He did Legion with its 87 characters. So, I mean, just think of what he'd be able to do on a book like Mighty Avengers. We didn't get Jen's take yet, so Jen, what was your take on the whole Civil War and afterwards?
Oh, I'm going to come off like such a kiss-ass, but Civil War is what I have to thank for getting me to buy something that wasn't Spider-Man. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but I went from literally buying Amazing to buying Initiative, New Avengers, you know, back into Cable and Deadpool. I know that that's not directly related to the Civil War stuff, but Civil War really got me, pulled me all the way back in, just as Brent was mentioning. It ramifications, I loved what it did to the universe. I loved seeing all those characters again. It brought up some names that we haven't seen in years. Yeah. Like, when was the last time we heard Hybrid?
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, all those crappy symbiotes merged into one. He was in, you know, the Civil War files or whatever the heck that book was mentioned, or Sleepwalkers and freaking Mighty Avengers. Since when? You know, and it was excellent for the casual fan. It really pulled them in. Civil War really brought kind of people who are on the outskirts of fandom into the universe. If you saw a character acting a certain way, you wanted to know kind of the motivation, or something was referenced, and they really kept track of everything. I love the 50 State Initiative stuff. It just kind of gave, it's bringing new, not only new characters in, but giving a place that's not New York to existing characters as well.
Yeah.
And of course, in addition to all this, we get brand new, excellent books.
And I liked it. And plus, the Initiative gave me Aranya, Sleepwalker, Machine Man, and Wonder Man in Ms. Marvel. So I will thank it over and over again for that, because those are some of my favorite characters from, like, the 90s and, like, later than that, all in the same book. Because I've grown to love Aranya so much. She's just, like, this youthful, spunky character that's had such bad things happen to her, and yet she's still, like, optimistic. And then you have Sleepwalker, who has quite possibly the most useless power in the world, because when he's awake, he's nothing. But when he's asleep, he's a warrior. they recently gave him, this isn't that much of a spoiler, they gave him in the most recent issue of Ms. Marvel, I think it's like this implant, where if he pokes it in the right part of his brain, he's out for 3 hours. So Sleepwalker can be active for 3 hours at a time. 3 hours at a time, you're a superhero. That's it.
Jeez. But we also got the whole basis for Omega Flight, you know,
oh, yeah.
Which is kind of was a little less lame than Alpha Flight. But the premise of it was so excellent. I had some problems with it that we'll get into later as we talk about minis and stuff. But it was exact, because you hear all these heroes going, oh, we're running for Canada. And as a Canadian citizen, because we heard, you know, all the Americans say when Bush got elected in, oh, I'm moving to Canada when that happens. And it just
damn you,
kind
Eddie
of
Vedder.
It was kind of an ongoing joke for a while. And so to actually see that kind of happen in comics, or that kind of effect and the of people running from the US into Canada, was really hilarious in a mini. So I would have missed out on that entire, you know, continuation of not only from House of M with the collective and all that stuff, but, you know, some ramifications in my own little country as well.
I wish U.S. Agent would have changed his name to Canada Agent.
Oh, yeah, there was lots of little things that I want to just hit on so bad, but we'll leave it for now.
Yeah. Or, like, the Ontario Avenger or something like that.
Yes!
Overpriced.
I so recently just found out that James McDonald was born in my city. Thank you very much.
Nice.
I was really excited about that.
And then he died. All right, moving on.
And cloned. Clones!
Oh, sweet Jesus. All right. Let's move on from Civil War to World War Hulk, as that one, I myself have only read the ramifications of World War Hulk. I didn't read the main series. I'm going to make that clear here. But from the ramifications, from the ramifications of World War Hulk, good job, very good job so far. Specifically though, I do have some problems though, because it's hard for me to understand when certain books are taking place now, like especially in the Avengers, where you've got black costume Spidey running around with the new Avengers. You have Sentry still in the Mighty Avengers. And in World War Hulk, from what I've known about it, Sentry gets knocked out. And obviously in Spidey's own book, he's back in the red and blues. So I have no idea when some stuff's taking place. But with the Initiative, they had some great World War Hulk tie-ins. The Punisher World War Hulk tie-in, Punisher War Journal, was one of the best comics I read this year.
Oh, yeah, that was a great book.
That was just fantastic.
And that's a great book, even, you know, ongoing. I thought the Warmonger arc was a little disjointed because of all the flashbacks and stuff, but the most recent one with the what's his name, the Rhino, that was a great.
Oh, my
and that
God.
Hulk one was awesome.
That was some of the best Spider-Man I've read in a long time, and just to have Kraven's son show back up and make a supervillain zoo. All right.
I haven't read that yet. I need to get that.
You need to get that, all right? Because there's nothing quite like Rhino in a cell next to Vulture.
Oh, man.
That sounds pretty intriguing, actually.
Yeah, it's great. It's really, really good.
I can't mean to grab that. It kept eluding me at the store.
This is the same Kraven son that used to be like the movie star. Although now he seems to have embraced his father's legacy. And that also includes drinking the potion that made him crazy.
Nice. All right.
Way to be.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so he's completely out of his gourd at this point, and Punisher is going in there like, you got to be freaking kidding me.
Raider's last gourd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but there have been some good stuff involved with World War Hulk. Who on the call actually has read World War Hulk? There has to be at least one person, please.
Yeah, I've read the whole thing.
Okay, good. All right, but you read parts of it at least, right?
Skim.
Okay. That's better than nothing. That's better than nothing.
Yeah.
World War Hulk and its ramifications. We'll start with the skimmer.
I liked the whole Avengers Illuminati. That was cool. Ghost Rider issue is my favorite Hulk tie-in, as well as Avengers Initiative. Trauma is my favorite character right now in an Avengers team. So, well, Initiative. I don't know. Like, I just don't care about the Hulk. And honestly, it starts and stops there for me. I know that sounds really terrible, but I just, not a character I'm into. I don't know. It just wasn't my bag, you know. We're getting a little too much of this event after event stuff, but that's another thing that internet kids are always whining about. But I was too burnt from Spidey back in black going on and, you know, coming right after Civil War, which came right after, and it just keeps going right back. So for me, it was all right. I liked Junior, so it was cool seeing Junior in Hip and whatnot. And I liked Hypno Hustle showing up in 5. That was pretty funny. Or 4 or 5, I forget which. Sentry's cool. That was a good fight. Kind of stops there.
And again, for people who haven't actually like read World War Hulk, spoilers here, spoilers. What actually happens to Sentry? Is he just out of commission or what? What happens at the end there? Do you know, Jen? Or Brent or anybody?
It's not spelled out specifically.
Okay.
Basically, both him and Hulk are in their human form, and they take them both away.
Okay.
And that's the way 5 ends. It was kind of just a real big letdown.
Right. So, they're making us, I guess, like believe that both Hulk and Sentry are powerless at this point.
Well, I know Hulk is in like a tube, basically somewhere being bathed in red light from time to time, and Sentry, we don't know what the hell happened to him. All they know is they said like, "Thanks, Bob."
and the death of Rick, which I'm very upset about. That from the looks of things here, I'm kind of hoping the Red Hulk does actually turn out to be Rick. Because
interested to read that just for the Ed McGuinness art, really.
Oh yeah, yeah, same here.
So I'm picking that up.
Plus it was 75 cents on DCBS.
Yep,
I ordered it.
Yeah, I got that also. I'm kind of hoping, like I said, if it's Rick Jones, I'm in. Because I've been such a huge fan of Rick Jones ever since Peter David's Captain Marvel. So if he's actually really dead, I'm going to be very annoyed.
Oh, you know what? That reminds me of something that irked me in Civil War.
Got it.
Unless I missed a tie-in or something, don't know how that could have happened, but didn't Happy Hogan die in one of the Iron Man issues of that?
Yeah, he did.
And did they ever go back to that?
Don't think they did.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Happy Hogan is one of the most prominent side characters, like, in the history of Iron Man. And they just...
Exactly, yeah.
So, why can't we just follow suit with Aunt May? Sorry, how to say it.
Yeah, thank you very much. Actually, now that I think about it, you know when they've actually brought it up? The Order. Because Pepper is brought up on occasion that she's a widow.
Yeah, I heard that Pepper was in there.
Yeah. Pepper is one of the main members of the Order. She's there like their Professor X, pretty much. She's the one who gives them information.
If I remember correctly in that issue, like, he was on life support, and I think Iron Man used his connections with technology to actually shut off his life support.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that is just such an emotional thing to do, because Happy's been one of Tony's friends for years. I mean, we're talking about in the earliest issues of Iron Man he's been around. And just for them to have Tony go and end his life pretty much on his own decision and never go back to that is just cheap.
Right. I mean, they've been leading a lot of us down the road that Tony Stark might actually be mentally unbalanced. And I understand that, you know, that Happy is a friend of his and he'd hate to see him in a situation where, you know, like he's unable to continue to have his faculties. Yeah, to be a vegetable.
Yeah.
However, he kind of broke 87 laws there.
Yeah.
It's like
Iron Kevorkian.
Oh, God.
Speaking at UF in January.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Sweet. Wait, is it actually Iron Kevorkian? Like, because if he's in an Iron Man suit, man, I'm like sold on Dr. Kevorkian. That's it, man. Dr. Kevorkian becomes an entirely different entity once he has that Iron Man suit on.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this show went down that road.
Well, I can help it.
Yeah.
Look right. At me.
All right. Yeah, for once it wasn't you, Jen. Congratulations. But, Chris, have you been enjoying the ramifications? Because obviously you didn't read the series, but from the crossovers that have been there, you've been liking it?
Well, I read two crossovers in it. I read The Ghost Rider and I read The Ant-Man. And The Ant-Man was just great. I mean, just look at the cover.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just excellent. But Ghost Rider is actually a title I wanted to talk about because it's one of my favorite Marvel titles, actually. Mm-hmm. And it has a real up in Daniel Way's tenure on it. It's had an up and down type of thing. The first five issues were great, and then issues 6 and 7 were kind of a let down, and then the next arc where they had, you know, Satan basically possessing the body of Jacqueline, who died in Civil War, and raising all kinds of hell, that was great. But then they had the World War Hulk issues, which I actually didn't like, because the first issue at that time was basically him, and then him showing Ghost Rider, and then him driving down to face the Hulk, and then the second issue was just him fighting the Hulk. And yeah, that was kind of just filler, it felt to me. But then this Revelations arc that's been going on now, which is Daniel Way's last arc, has been really good. So it's an up and down type of title, but it's just I've really enjoyed it when it is really good. Mm-hmm. And whenever Mark Texier and Javier Salteras are on the art, it's gorgeous.
Have you read the most recent issue?
Yes, and it's 2007, so we can talk about that.
Yeah, what do you think of the change there? I myself am not reading it because I actually kind of boycott Daniel Way after the whole like fan incident related to Wolverine Origins, where he basically just told off a fan who was, you know, bad mouthing his work and did it in a fashion where it was like, well, I don't care about any fans whatsoever. I'm gonna continue doing what I want. Ooh. Man, as long as I get the paycheck, it's all good.
I hate those
yourself.
Stories.
Yeah.
Hate those stories. They just make me want to like not ever buy anything from that person again.
Right.
So I don't blame you.
That's why I've kind of like shied away from that. But now that he's no longer gonna be doing Ghost Rider, I might actually start picking it up. But, yeah, what do you think of the whole revelation that he's actually an angel?
You know, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, what... Because, you know, it was interesting how they explained it, and they were actually working into continuity
I believe that Rox, they had, like, when he initially made the deal with the devil, and they had his girlfriend Roxanne praying for his soul to be saved, and mm-hmm. that, although I don't think they addressed how Zarathos comes into the whole deal, unless they said that Zarathos was the angel, but I don't believe they said that.
Okay.
So there's still the whole thing about Zarathos, the whole demon entity he was bound to. That's, I don't think they addressed that, but for, it didn't, doesn't really make sense for a demon-possessed guy, superhero, to be killing evil. Mm-hmm. So for them to make it an angel, that makes a lot more sense, and it definitely leaves up a lot of interesting story possibilities if the next writer, who I believe is Jason Aaron, I think his name is,
yeah.
if he
yeah.
decides to pick those up, there's a lot of interesting ways, routes that it can go down. And I think that that's really good of Daniel Way to leave something for the next writer to pick up on and not just leave him, you know, to go off wherever. And he has something that he's put out that the next writer can use.
Yeah. Is it possible that Zarathos might himself be a cast down angel, like something like Zariel was in DC?
Possible.
Like he was an angel, but he was cast off, ended up in hell, and that's how he ended up in Ghost Rider.
That's possible because, like I said, I don't think they addressed Zarathos in there. They just said that Roxanne was praying, and then like Heaven was like, "Okay, we've heard your prayers," but then they have him be the Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
And of course, it's not exactly how it worked out, exactly how she planned, but still.
Well, as long as they don't change Ghost Rider's real name to Crim Jorrigan and have him like wear like a green cloak and have him be like stealing people's souls,
yeah.
that, then they'll
yeah.
be happy.
I saw a lot of posts about him making him, you know, the Spectre and all that, which I can see. Mm-hmm. But he's a lot different in the Spectre in that he, you know, he's merciless. Like, if he's protecting innocent people while still, you know, trying to beat up Satan, which is not exactly the easiest thing in the world to do. Mm-hmm. I remember one issue of Ghost Rider where he was Johnny Blaze and the Ghost Rider were in conflict on whether to go after, because the whole deal with a Ghost Rider is that he was in hell and he found a way out of hell, but it turns out that he was tricked by Satan or Lucifer is what they call him, and that he hitched a ride off of Ghost Rider out of hell, mm-hmm. and he split up into 666 like entities of himself.
Oh, he couldn't get to 616.
No, 666. Come on,
oh,
Sign of the Beast.
Oh,
come on.
Okay.
But so basically, Ghost Rider's been trying to destroy all of them, and in one issue, it was Ghost Rider and Johnny Blaze, and there was this airplane about to explode, and it was basically a choice between whether or not to get the Satan entity or to, you know, stop the plane from exploding. And I do believe that the plane ended up exploding. And that was like a turning point in the Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider relationship, because the Ghost Rider is pretty much solely intent on stopping Lucifer while Johnny Blaze is trying to save as many innocent people as possible.
That sounds interesting enough. I mean, it sounds like something I might be able to jump on.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it, although I don't know what direction it's going to take, so I can't exactly recommend it.
Right.
But I'm still going to get it.
All right, cool.
So.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it might be something I pick up in trade or something like that, but I'm just going to avoid all the Daniel Way issues due to my own personal bias. From here, I guess you were just talking about major changes, so we might as well talk about this a little bit. I know, Chris, you haven't read the Fantastic Four stuff, so I'll take you out of this conversation here. But, Brent, have you read the Fantastic Four stuff with Black Panther and Storm and all that?
Yeah, I read that, and I read the first four Black Panther issues where the torsion thing were in there.
Good, good, good. And, Jem, what about you? Did you read any of that?
I kind of skimmed it, but nothing that I could really give a really rounded comment on, other than, I guess it's a change.
Right. Okay. Well, then I'll just ask Brent this, and then we can move on from there. The replacement Fantastic Four, did it work for you? Was it better than the original group? As good? What's your take?
It certainly wasn't better. McDuffie did an okay job with what he was given, I guess. I mean, I don't know, the stories were interesting, but I definitely liked the Fantastic Four title better than the Black Panther title.
I agree with that. When they went into the Marvel Zombies universe, that was kind of fun. But other than that, I haven't really been enjoying it that much.
I think Storm should just stay in X-Men. That really bugs me that she's not in X-Men anymore. I know that sounds really kind of one note, but it just seems weird to not to have her in other places, like with Black Panther, and that whole marriage just felt really forced for me.
No, yeah, I mean that does ring a valid point because it did sort of like come out of nowhere. I understand they had a past together, but they hadn't spoken for a while, and then all of a sudden they rekindle their relationship in an issue of X-Men, and from there it just spins off into, "Hey, baby, wanna be my queen?"
Is that how they all work, though? I thought that's how you get married.
I don't know what sort of relationships you've been in, Jen, but that's not
crap,
really
this is
how
what
it works.
They're doing wrong.
Oh,
okay.
Boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, and plus, also, it just kind of feels like, to me, the whole, like, hey, you're a black character. Hey, you're another black character.
Yeah.
We should totally get married because we're black characters.
That's exactly what it's just like I said, the whole thing just really, really forced to me.
But the Fantastic Four issues, though, I do agree with Brent. Those were some really good issues. It's kind of hard for Dwayne McDuffie to write anything bad. Everything he touches turns to gold for me. So I'm kind of happy with the way it turned out. Plus, what's most important is that in this run, they did bring back Gravity. And I'm a huge Gravity fan. I hope he actually like comes back and joins a team or something like that, because I'm a huge Gravity fan. He's like my new Spider-Man almost, because he sort of had a bit of that like old-fashioned Spidey feel, like the young kid trying to be a superhero.
That's kind of like when Nova was in the 70s. If you read the Nova stuff from the 70s, that was basically their Spider-Man from the 70s.
Right, and Gravity is the Spider-Man for the zero zeros, I guess. I don't know what the hell this called.
Except not nearly as popular or successful.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I hope over time he does actually get more popular and successful. But I liked the characterization of Black Panther, and I liked that Storm was well done. I also enjoy that they brought back the darker Fantastic Four costumes, that Johnny and the Thing were wearing their dark blue, as opposed to the white blue they usually wear when they're the regular team.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's actually kind of become official at this point where they wear that dark blue whenever there's a replacement team.
Really?
Yeah, it's sort of become that. Like, if the regulars aren't there, they change their outfit in one way or another. So this is the way that went. And this was certainly a better replacement Fantastic Four than Spider-Man, Wolverine, the Hulk, and Ghost Rider.
It's true.
Oh, I want to read those issues.
I have the What If issue. With what if the replacement Fantastic Four remained the Fantastic Four?
I think they just should have replaced Fantastic Four with just four different universe Wolverines. That would have been awesome.
That's an issue of Exiles.
That's true. As long as one of them is X-23, that's cool too.
Okay. All right. Well, these ones were the Wolverine robot, Albert. James Hallett, back when he was, you know, like it's a young James Hallett who literally just became Wolverine.
Yes.
Zombie Wolverine.
Who eats the other guys? No.
And there was.
Do they keep the zombie Wolverine in a shed playing Xbox?
No, they don't.
Yes,
they should have. They totally should have. And I believe Days of Future Past Wolverine was there as well. So that was the really, really fun Exiles team for a while there. But getting back on target, though, not nearly as good as the original Fantastic Four, but certainly good enough to be a replacement team. I want to ask a question about Iron Man here, and this is one that everybody can answer. Is Iron Man the new face of the Marvel U? Because obviously with Cap's death, there has to be one character that you can focus on to say this is the shining light of Marvel Comics. This is the guy everybody turns to when they're in trouble. Iron Man has sort of become that person. As the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., as one of the main members of Mighty Avengers, his hand is in everybody's pot. You know, that's just the way he is being portrayed right now. Is Iron Man the new face of the Marvel U for you? Jen?
For me? Hell no. I think he's kind of replaced whatever Nick Fury was, in almost a more visible way, like less stealthy, because, you know, you got pretty much every team in contact with him at one point or another now as head of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think we're also getting a lot of Iron Man push because the movie's coming out again. You're going to see a lot of residual crap rolling off the shelves because OMG Iron Man movie.
But it looks sweet.
Oh, yes.
It does. Hey, I think personally, hands down, it has the potential of being one of the best Marvel movies.
It's got just, Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury. Come on.
Yeah, honestly.
That hasn't been confirmed.
Yes.
Yes,
I think Robert Downey Jr. is just going to make that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I was under the impression it was confirmed as well.
Really? Okay, because I had heard at this point that it was more still, like, not really confirmed, but sort of confirmed.
Okay.
And specifically that they were going to put in a scene with that was going to sort of, like, bring the whole Marvel movie universe together, where they were going to have,
like,
Sam Jackson be in a room with Iron Man with the Hulk there as well.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I heard like he was supposed to appear in like Iron Man and then also appear in the Hulk movie.
Okay.
Both of them. That's what I heard. Cool. That's a rumor.
And then obviously star in the Nick Fury movie that they've been talking about for years.
I thought it was David Hasselhoff. Come on.
yeah, Germans love David Hasselhoff. No, David Hasselhoff is busy with the Knight Rider TV movie. So sorry.
That's true. That's true, yeah.
Wasn't he caught drunk a few times too? So he's got that to worry about.
Why do you drink? I don't know. it's
hard. How could they pass him over for Iron Man?
Yes.
Because they got Robert Downey Jr. The
other
drunk.
That's pretty good, man. Yeah.
That's true.
Can you see that? You know that pitch to Robert Downey Jr. Basically, just play you, except 10 years ago or 5 years ago.
Okay, I want you to get into the role here. Okay, here's how we want you to be played, okay? You're Robert Downey Jr. You're in a suit of armor. Go with that.
Yes. Robert Downey Jr. before you went to rehab.
Yep.
All right, we know what Jen's take on Iron Man is. Chris, is your take the same?
Yeah, I have to agree, because I don't really like this whole idea of Iron Man as this, you know, director of S.H.I.E.L.D. I would just be happy with him, like, blasting away at the Mandarin or Ultimo or something like that. Although I know that they have tried to advance his character with this whole Civil War arc, and that probably isn't likely to happen, but you know, that's kind of the Iron Man I want to read, you know? Not this director of S.H.I.E.L.D. type guy.
And damn it, you said Ultimo, so now I immediately think of the 1990s Iron Man series where Ultimo's only line was, I am Ultimo, thy deliverer.
I was actually thinking of the issue 300 of Iron Man, where all the previous people who wore the armor when Tony couldn't all got, like, the old armors and were all fighting against him. And then he broke out the new 90s armor, Tony did, and yeah.
Nice.
But, you know, nice. For the face to represent the Marvel Universe, it's got to be Dennis.
Or trauma.
So how long until there's a Dennis book?
I'm giving it about 2 months.
I don't know.
Dennis, written by Peter David with art by Jim Mahfood.
Does Peter David have a blog somewhere? Maybe we could just like...
He does, actually. Peter David
does. He does, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought so.
And actually that's one of my favorite moments of 2007 is that he had said on his blog that he was sad about Dry being canceled on Fox, and then he threw a line about Dry being canceled in Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Brent, what's Iron Man to you?
I think he is the new face of the Marvel U. I mean, he's got a much more prominent role. I think the book is a little better for that. You know, he used to be the head of a multinational corporation. Now he's the head of a multinational corporation and S.H.I.E.L.D., so you're getting, I think, what you should have gotten more of in the Iron Man book before. You're getting more of the technology and stuff that he had been developing as Tony Stark, and now he's doing it with S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff.
When he premiered that new helicarrier that was literally like a giant version of his armor.
Come on, that was a Bendis thing. That wasn't the real book.
Yes, but seriously, though, when... Yellow, like the yellow and red helicarrier. Come on.
Well, at least it wasn't purple and blue, you know. It could have been the Prowler, head of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
All right.
Hobie, going places.
That book needs to be made.
Prowler and Dennis team up book. Prowler and Dennis, there you go.
The Amazing Adventures of Prowler and Dennis.
I would buy that art.
Oh, yeah. But I'm actually agreeing with Brent here. So we're literally split down the middle. I think that Iron Man is the new face of the Marvel U because, well, the face of the Marvel U right now is pro-reg. You know, registration happened, and it's mostly because of Iron Man saying this should happen. And people rallied around him because he was a public figure. You know, he came out, my name is Tony Stark, I am Iron Man.
Well, there was that whole death of 600 kids, too.
Yes, yes, but...
I think the public in general wants, you know, you get the odd ones that are fanboys and girls that want their heroes to be not registered, but I definitely know that if I was in that situation, I would definitely be pro-reg as a citizen. So, I mean, I think the public in general, especially in common times, whether we'd want to or not, I think Iron Man would have been ended up being the face of, you know, fight terrorism.
Well, plus, think about this. He went from being a businessman to being the Secretary of Defense.
It's like real life.
To being the Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I'm trying to think, which gives you more power, Secretary of Defense or Director of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because in both of them, you're able to do a lot of stuff pertaining to war.
And you have a lot of guns.
I really wish I could remember where I just read it, but somebody totally pointed all that out to him, right to his face, and said, you have like, obsession with power and something like that.
Oh,
so,
wait.
I forget where that was, though.
Damn it. I just read that book, like, literally, like, 2 days ago.
And it
was
a really good line, and it was, I think it came out last week.
Oh, fricka fracka.
Would it have been New Warriors? No.
Yeah, it was, actually. It was New Warriors.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it was definitely New Warriors.
So, I really liked that line. That was kind of finally somebody said it moment for me.
Yeah. And, I mean, they brought it up also in Civil War Frontline,
mm-hmm.
where they literally just went to his face and they're like, we know that you're controlling this, you know, for your own benefits, and eventually you're going to get caught. But
nice.
He hasn't been caught yet, obviously. And there was a big revelation. I'm not sure whether or not it's true, of course, but...
Yeah, it's that Cap doesn't use MySpace.
Yeah, Cap's more of a Facebook guy. No, the big revelation, and again, this is spoilers for the most recent issue of New Warriors, but the big revelation was that he funds the New Warriors. I don't know whether or not this is actually true, because if it is, that's really messed up. Because that means you're funding your enemies to make you look better.
Wow.
That's kind of really strong and ballsy of him, and I don't even think he'd be that ballsy, so I'm not really going to believe that so far. But still,
I kind of like the idea of having some fodder for him actually being a dick. Yeah. So I'll buy it for now and enjoy it.
I haven't used this line in way too long. Iron Man is a douche.
well, if he is funding the New Warriors, is that the face you want the Marvel Universe to have?
Yeah.
I don't know. But for now, he's the face of the Marvel Universe. Until somebody takes him down a peg, he's definitely the face to me. Let's move on from here, actually, and let's change gears a little bit. Let's go movies. We'll go back to comics after this. Give me your favorite and your most horrible movie of 2007 for Marvel Comics. And you can mention a couple others, like maybe honorable mentions if you want, because there weren't that many that came out. I think there were, three that came out?
There were, three.
Yeah.
Yeah, three.
So I guess you can mention, where they rank on your list. The three that came out that I can remember off the top of my head were Fantastic Four 2, Rise of Silver Surfer, Ghost Rider, and
Spider-Man
3. Yeah, because X3 happened in 06, right?
Doctor Strange.
Oh, Doctor Strange, thank you. Yeah, the animated movies will count.
Iron Man 2.
Yeah, Iron Man and Doctor Strange, the animated features also will count there. Yeah, we'll start with you, Brent.
I will definitely put Fantastic Four 2 at the top there, closely followed by, I guess, Ghost Rider. That was kind of fun. I'll put Spider-Man 3 at the bottom. Sorry. And then of the two animated movies, I definitely liked Iron Man more than the Doctor Strange.
Really?
I thought Doctor Strange was kind of a bore.
Whoa. That's actually kind of surprising, man. That's been my favorite so far.
It took too long to get there for me. Mm-hmm. We spent like an hour of him training and all this mystical woo-ah, doo-dah shit. Like, your wall is being constantly erected because you have not knocked down the wall to yourself and... blah, blah, blah. And then when we finally got to see him as Doctor Strange, there was only 20 minutes of the movie left, or even 10.
Congratulations, Brent. You have a brand new nickname. Brent Woo-Ah Doo-Dah Shit Casina.
Mom will be proud.
Yeah, my list is very different. I'd say number one for me was actually still Spider-Man 3, all right? Because, hear me out here, it was not nearly as good as 1 and 2. That much I'll certainly say. However, it was certainly better than Galactus Cloud.
Yes!
And Put the Monkey Back On.
Oh. All right. Thank you.
I'm and I enjoyed all three of these movies to a certain point. It's just that Spider-Man 3 had less wrong with it than the other two. Fantastic Four was a great movie compared to the first one. I liked the first one. The second one was a lot better. It's just that I'm a proponent that Spider-Man 3 could have been three movies. Fantastic Four 2 could have been two movies. Should have been two movies. Should have been Silver Surfer and then Galactus in the third. We talked about that on our actual episode pertaining to it, but it's just that whole Galactus ending there was just so rushed that it takes it to number two on my list. And for the animated features, definitely Doctor Strange number one and Iron Man number two, because Iron Man was good, just not nearly as good as I wanted it to be. Doctor Strange was interesting. It was creative. I loved the art, and that's great. And Spider-Man is number one for me also, because no other movie allowed me to walk down the street strutting afterwards.
That was the worst part for me.
No, Raph and I had a great time after that movie, man. Come on, we were all like, hey.
Jen, what's her favorite part? What's her favorite part, Jen?
How's the pie?
So good.
Is that pie Poo-Tang pie?
Oh, man.
Chris, let's get your list.
Well, I've got your back, Ian. I also think that Spider-Man 3 was the best of the three. I think that I might be the only one, but I actually enjoyed it more than two. But that's just me.
You are actually the only one. Congratulations.
I figured. But number two, I'm actually going to give to Ghost Rider because I really enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it as much the second time I viewed it because the three secondary villains, including the guy who was made of piss, were really weak. But I love the Ghost Rider just, you know, being realized on the screen, and just the special effects with the Ghost Rider were just great.
You're going to make me bring it up, aren't you? He's a functional retard. he's a functional retard. Do you like Italian? Come on, man.
Well, you know, I guess you have to kind of bring in that Daniel Way kind of has Johnny Blaze as a functional retard in the Ghost Rider books, although not like eating jelly beans out of a wine glass or whatever, which I would actually like to try sometime. But
what the hell was that doing in that movie? I'm sorry, but
yeah, God. it was a departure from the Johnny Blaze character. I'll give it that. But
give the man pie.
I still enjoyed it. But
it was Nick Cage being Johnny Blaze being Elvis Presley.
You know, kidding.
Yeah. But number three is Fantastic Four 2. Although, and you know, I have to agree with Ian that the Galactus thing was just what were they thinking? Like, it's on the level of having Norman Osborn sleep with Gwen Stacy. That's how wrong it was. Cloud.
Okay. Yeah. Everyone must fear the giant evil Nimbus.
All right, come on.
Just to have Galactus's helmet somehow.
The thing that did it for me for Fantastic Four 2, though, is that they got everything else right.
Oh yeah.
They finally got the dynamics between the characters down. They got the humor. Mm-hmm. The Stan Lee can't get into the wedding thing. That I thought that was hilarious.
That was the best moment of the movie. No doubt.
You know, the thing that made that movie for me is that they got everything else right.
Reed Richards dancing. Reed Richards dancing was superb.
It really was. It put Peter to shame.
I really like the Silver Surfer, and I'm looking forward to if they ever get that solo movie off the ground, because I really enjoyed what they did with Silver Surfer in there.
Yeah. Was I the only one who liked the 90s animated series for Silver Surfer?
No.
I remember watching that.
Silver Surfer, I was going to say Fantastic Four. I loved that and Iron Man.
Fantastic Four.
That'll score.
I am Iron Man. Dude, they should get Ozzy Osbourne to record that I Am Iron Man for the movie.
That'd be awesome.
And Jen, let's get your list.
Okay.
Actually, hold on. Before we do that, Kristen, did you actually watch the animateds? Do you have the list for those?
No, I only saw the first two Ultimates one, okay. And I caught like a couple minutes of the Iron Man, but I didn't see the animated movies, no.
Okay, cool. And back to Jen.
So, number one, I thought for me, was it goes to Fantastic Four. Number two, I really have this obsession with Johnny Storm in those movies that just needs to be fulfilled. And his character is great. I love that we got some development with the whole he's realizing that maybe being famous and having these cars isn't all that's grand. Because I thought, honestly, they were just going to keep playing off that for him and not really give him anything else but the side stuff with Ben. But they really, I thought they did an excellent job actually, as Brent said, doing everything else correctly. Even Galactus for me, though, they couldn't really do like a bajillion feet tall guy stomping around Earth, in my opinion. It just would have been so ridiculous.
Cloud purple.
That's true. Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
If you look at Ultimate Alliance, he's looking awesome in Ultimate Alliance.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, that's just like video game graphics.
It's true. Video games kind of bridge the gap between live action film and whatever medium the source material is. I found that with a couple different franchises. But in a real life movie, I honestly, truly can't see that working. Silver Surfer looked awesome. I love the connection he made with the Fantastic Four. Just so much was right about that movie. Second is Spider-Man 3. But, you know, I don't want to go into it. Same crap that everyone else complains about. Too many villains, this and that. Venom was crappy. Whatever. The dancing scene was stupid. No offense, Ian. I know you love it, but...
Aww.
Okay, well, this the jazz scene, then. We'll put that down. That was a little much for me.
The musical interlude was stupid.
You all suck.
Ian, I dug the music, too. I dug the dance, so I got your back again, man.
You guys have officially lost your penises.
Hey, come on. Every single time I see Vidara's signature on the forums, I remember walking down the street strutting, and I'm just like, I'm in a happy place.
But, man, I can see a nerdy Peter Parker doing the thing down the street, you know, just having that first effect from the suit, you know, thinking he's awesome or treating the girl badly with the cookies, whatever. But the jazz thing was way too stupidly random.
Yeah. I do admit, at one point, I imagined him going, "Somebody stop me!"
And his eyes bugging out and howling like a wolf. Yeah, totally. And then it turned out smacks MJ. But it was, I don't know, it was just too much. They were really reaching for this. And if Sam didn't want to do a Venom movie, he should have just not done it, because it was so...
That would probably have sucked more.
It's true. All right, fair enough. But,
well, then we would have gotten at least a Venom movie, not like a third Venom movie. A third of a Venom movie, you know?
Exactly. And he doesn't even show up till the end or whatever. But once again, these are all complaints that every human on the planet that's seen this movie has said.
Well, at least Sandman got his...
But he walked away like a wuss. I did it for my family. Please forgive me.
I hang onto a locket even though I'm made of sand. Like,
I am the most powerful individual who has ever been made of sand ever.
How do you cut yourself if you're made of sand? Emo. But for Ghost Rider, oh my god, facepalm. Like, it was just 40 minutes. The love story was ridiculous. The dialogue was ridiculous. The acting was horrible. It took, like, 40 minutes for him to become Ghost Rider, and I hate Nick Cage to begin with, so, you know, functional retard strikes again. And, dude, it was so bad. But once you hit that one-hour mark or whatever, and he becomes Ghost Rider, it's all right. I can deal with it. But Roxanne, oh, my God.
Like, look, you don't have to put on the red light.
Yeah, I know. Oh, Sting.
Roxy.
Those days are over. I mean, you don't have to sell your body to the night.
Is that what he says?
Yeah.
I never ever heard words in that. I just hear Roxanne. All I hear every time I hear the song.
you sounded like Roxanne.
Yeah. Anyway,
you sounded like Roxanne was singing Roxanne.
I know. That's my pastime, you see, next to doing podcasting. I imitate Roseanne.
Great.
She must be really flattered.
Totally. Yep. My hero.
A boot.
Bacon. Syrup. Garage. Alpha Flight's the best!
Did you see the animated?
Aside from my ridiculous ramblings that have nothing to do with what we're talking about, yes. No, though, I have not seen them. I almost picked up Iron Man, but I just couldn't I don't know, being, I just didn't, it wasn't my thing.
See Doctor Strange.
Was that Max of Oxy, wasn't it?
No, see Iron Man. No,
definitely see Doctor Strange. That was a
I think
movie.
I have more of an interest in seeing Iron Man, because at least I can scream Tony Stark is a douche at the screen.
Yeah.
I guess you can yell Doctor Strange is a Skrull at him, but...
We're getting right. there. We're getting there. Don't give away the juice. All right. So we've covered the movies. Let's go back to comic books. Let's switch it over to the X-Men books. Yay. Messiah Complex and Endangered Species. I'm going to start with Endangered Species first because that was the most ambitious of the two. Good idea or bad idea to split it up into 12 parts throughout the books as backstories, as opposed to actually having it be its own individual series? Because I'm sure that they're going to trade it eventually as its own
book. Oh, they already solicited it.
Yeah,
they
have, yeah.
Terrific. But, yeah, good idea or bad idea to split it up like that and make us buy everything? We'll start with Jen.
As a recent pretty big X fan, I was really excited for this. I bought the one shot. I was like, cool. I like where this is going. And it sucked and was pointless for the rest of the 17 parts or whatever, 16 parts. I mean, I was already buying kind of like, I don't know, about half the X-books. I think I was buying Adjectiveless and New X-Men or whatever, so... But it was so stupid. Was there a point, honestly?
The point was so they could draw Dark Beast.
What the hell was that, Dark Beast?
Oh, Dark Beast is actually from Age of Apocalypse.
Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah. He just kind
he's
of
still around?
Yeah, him in, just like somewhere hidden in the world is Sugar Man.
Yes.
I liked the Guthrie stuff, that was pretty crazy, but it still did nothing for the progress of whatever McCoy was trying to achieve for me. Like, it just, I don't know, it was just a waste of time.
It did not get me to pick up New X-Men. I came very close to doing that just to get those stories. But however, there's this lovely live journal community called Scans Daily. and I must say that did help me a lot with those New X-Men issues. I just went on there whenever somebody posted it. I'm like, oh, great. I read it. Moving on.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because every other book I was reading, just not New X-Men.
I really liked the idea. If it was a good story, I so would have been picking up every book. But it wasn't grabbing me. We weren't getting enough going on in each individual installment. And it totally, I felt like it totally psyched me out from the one shot. Like, made you think it was going to be something else than it actually was.
Yeah.
And
those guys on Uncanny X-Cast swear by New X-Men.
Yeah, it was them that originally, listening to those boys, originally got me into listening to New X-Men.
Listening to it? Yeah. I was about to say, because, like, they're not really that talkative.
The books, they speak to me. They speak to me. But I'm a huge X-23.
You're going
so it was die!
like Gwen Stacy? By the way, who killed her?
I'm never going to live that crap down.
Never.
Huge X-23 fan, so that was an easy step for me, moving into New X-Men. I'm a huge sucker for the kids.
I used to read it. I stopped reading it when it became New X-Men because I loved it as New X-Men Mutant Academy or Academy X or whatever it was, because that was actually really fun. Then they took away almost every character I liked, and they said, here, let's take half the Hellions and X-23 and call it New X-Men. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute here. Hold on a second. This is not what I was reading. I'm going elsewhere. Sorry.
I love the squad stuff. I was kind of bummed when they started Axe and all that and merging it into one. But I guess M-Day happened, and that's kind of what goes on.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I did pick up the last issue that came out before Messiah Complex started. Mm-hmm. I picked up, and I did actually really like that. But I don't see myself picking up any of the back issues unless I get them in dollar bins.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, other than that, Endangered Species, not so good.
I do have something to say about the whole backup thing. It's really, if you look at the sales on this stuff, they're not in any sort of close to being the same for each of the books. So, you know, and so I don't really get the whole concept of having them as backup. They wouldn't have sold as many, I guess, if it was miniseries.
so it was probably better money-wise for them to split them up into backups. But it just doesn't really make much sense to have people have to go to this book and this book if they're interested in reading the story, but they have no interest in the title itself.
Right.
If that was a mini, it would have gotten dropped by everybody in issue two.
Exactly, yeah. So they had to have it as backups.
Well, it would have been. I think it would have been structured a lot differently had it been a mini.
Oh, yeah, most certainly, yeah.
I want to know why Wolverine is an X-book, but he doesn't get any of the X-backups or anything like that.
I know, right? It's like, he's the lucky one. He gets to be outside of all this. You know what it is, actually? It's because of that damn Wolverine Origins that they sort of split off into, like, its own section. It's not even, like, really related to the X-Men anymore.
Fair enough, yeah.
Well, not even that. His own main book has nothing to do with Messiah Complex and all that.
Well, right. Well, that's what I mean. Because he has a second book, they're like, oh, well, Wolverine's its own franchise. It doesn't even have to be associated with X-Men anymore. I don't know. That's at least how I look at it. You know, like, if there wasn't a Wolverine Origins, chances are he'd still be smack dab in the middle of all the X-Men's affairs. Oh, wait, he is anyway.
Yeah. where isn't he? But that's a whole. So that's something else. That
you
know,
where he's not? Canada.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Even though he grew up there, he doesn't really hang out there that much anymore.
Yeah, I mean, come on, show Omega Flight some love.
Yeah. Brent, Endangered Species, dull or the dullest? Are you reading Messiah Complex?
Yes, I am. I'm really enjoying that.
Good. What are you enjoying so much about it?
That it's really cool.
All right, Brent, everybody. He's a man of 1,000 words combined into one.
I'm really liking Scott Eaton's art out of all of them, I think. And Humberto Ramos, I like him too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Chris is outnumbered.
Yes.
Don't tell me you all
leave.
We all like him.
Oh, my God. You serious? Rob Liefeld is better than Humberto Ramos.
You go die in a fire.
Yes.
Go away.
Go away, co-host. Go away.
Oh, hey, I created it. I could drop you in a second. Better not mess with me.
That's okay. Crap, well, I'll pick her up, and it'll be a three-person show.
Word.
Says you.
Oh, ho!
I'll cast her out.
Uh-oh.
I'll be ruthlessly vindictive.
Oh.
Hey. Who's the host? Sucker.
What podcast was it that I was listening to that they said they're not even hosts anymore, co-hosts anymore, they're just hosts? I forget which one that was.
That was Raging Bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that's kind of like us?
Anyway, let's move on. You're not going to make me say it, Brent. I'm sorry. It's actually like that. I love you, man.
I love you too.
You're not getting my beer. I'm sorry.
Roxanne.
Aunt May. All right.
Ted. Sorry.
Let's actually get back to talking again. You were saying you like Scott Eaton and Humberto Ramos and all that.
And I like how Cyclops is being mean to Professor X. I think that's cool.
Yeah. Well, it's.
I think what actually helped though is that I actually read the Mike Carey Supernovas arc and the Rise and Fall of the Shi'ar Empire before I got into Messiah Complex, so that kind of helped too, I'm sure.
Yeah, that does actually help a lot, because you actually understand why Cyclops is sort of being bitchy to him.
Crap, that's why. I refused to read that Shi'ar arc, I just didn't care.
That one was alright. Supernovas was really good, though. I like that one the best.
I like Rachel a lot, but I just didn't care enough to read that whole arc.
Well, you would have really enjoyed when Rachel had sex with Cloud.
So I heard. Ooh, oh, big storyboard guy in more ways than one.
All right, what drew you into Messiah Complex, Jen?
It didn't suck like One More Day.
Oh.
I'm sorry, dude, it was so hyped for, you know, the last few events of the year, and meaning mostly One More Day, and it just, dude, I keep saying dude, but
dude.
Messiah Complex. Sweet! Where's your car? No, sorry. Messiah Complex, the fact that it's coming out weekly is just showing you how well that keeps you enthralled in the story and keeps you buying the issues. Mm-hmm. And instead of that one whole month delay type crap going on in other places, but overall the story has been excellent. I'm glad to see they didn't try to make Cable stay dead, because we all knew he was going to come back eventually. I like that I like what they're doing there. Pretty much the only huge problem I have with Messiah Complex is that Cable and Deadpool completely not even acknowledging the fact this is going on, and his partner has been Cable for the last 4 years or whatever, or however many.
He doesn't know he's back yet.
This is true, but I mean, there should be something, because we got body slide stuff that's still going on. We have, you know, like, it just bugs me that we're just kind of pretending that, you know, he doesn't know. I guess they're using Deadpool's, you know, spiffing around the time slots and everything to, as an excuse to not know, but it's bugging me, though, that Cable and Deadpool has nothing to do with the Messiah Complex. That's a very, very, very tiny thing. Just nitpicking.
I want Deadpool to team up with 1996 Cable.
Wow.
Like, or even 1993 Cable, back when he had really, really big veins on his neck.
And pockets.
Wasn't he still a villain back in that era?
Exactly.
So that would have been kind of fun.
Yeah.
Have him go back.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and Messiah Complex is actually the book that's making me buy every single X-book. I've gone out there, I'm buying new X-Men, I'm buying everything else involving it, and I'm having a damn good time doing so.
Good deaths, too, so far. Really liking the deaths.
Yes. And so, there's only one problem I have with Messiah Complex, and it's only a problem somebody in Brooklyn would have. Okay? The death camp in the future is based in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn. Okay? Now, I don't have a problem that it's based in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn. My problem is, the first time it was drawn, they drew Borough Hall. They drew downtown Brooklyn. And Sheepshead Bay is nowhere near there. At all.
You should write him a letter. It's an angry one at that.
Yeah, it's on the complete opposite side. They had bridges in the background in the art. I'm like, there are no bridges anywhere near Sheepshead Bay. Sheepshead Bay is in the middle of nowhere.
If it makes you feel any better, one of our listeners and I have been talking the last little while, and absolutely almost every single time Canada is depicted in a comic book, it's a barren wasteland of trees and snow, even when it's like Toronto or Ottawa.
Let me get this straight. You have cities?
Believe it or not.
Aww.
We have roads. We have paved roads. We just got a Walmart for the first time, you know, last year.
I learn all of my history from comic books, so I've always sort of thought that, you know, Canada was just this place where there were trees and bears.
Oh, and don't forget the Department H headquarters that, you know, it's this big building in the middle of a forest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that forest is Toronto.
Clearly. CN Tower is actually a big log.
Of course. Yeah, but they did seem to fix it in later art, but still, it just peeved me. Like, everybody I knew who lives in Brooklyn, they've all been talking to me like, dude, that's messed up.
Well, especially when most of the Marvel Universe is based in New York and area, so I mean, that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, well.
I'm with you on that.
Well, the artists don't live there anymore, so quit your bitching.
Ooh!
If we've learned anything from Countdown over at DC, comic books don't have editors anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to have a rant up on the Comic Timing website probably sometime next week about whatever happened to editors.
All right.
Because
nice.
Not only that, but whatever happened to proofreaders. Because there have been so many spelling mistakes in my comics lately.
Mae Fitzgerald?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, JMS. Yeah.
Cowards.
Chris, I forget. Are you picking up any of the X-Men Messiah Complex stuff?
You know, I've never really been that big of an X-Men fan.
Okay.
But in February, we get X-Force with art by Clayton Crane, one of the best artists in the industry right now. So I'll be picking that up.
Okay. X-23.
But no, I'm not. Yeah, she's in there. But no, I'm not picking up the Messiah Complex whole crossover.
Okay. There is one thing that did catch my interest, and this was actually something that might be true, might not be true, that apparently one of the books that's going to be spinning out of Messiah Complex is a book called Young X-Men.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm not sure whether or not that's a mistake or whether or not that's actually happening, but I kind of thought that's what X-Men Legacy was going to be about.
Well, actually, what I've heard also, and I haven't looked at solicitations, but New X-Men is noticeably not there.
Right.
In any new, so I'm just hoping to God they're just switching the name again and keeping the characters.
Well, that's why. I thought the characters were just going to go over to X-Men Legacy.
We don't really know awesome. What that whole thing's about.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah, it's just
all I know about Legacy is that it's continuing the numbering of adjective lists, and that's literally all I know about it.
Right. It's like when Peter Parker Spider-Man became Spider-Man, then Peter Parker Spider-Man, then Spider-Man Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Parker Spider Peter Man.
Spec amazing, sensational, Marvel Knight-ish.
Yeah. Moving from there, here we go. Miniseries. We'll go with our favorite and our why the hell did they make that miniseries? And we will start with Chris.
All right. Well, I'll start with the good stuff first. I have to say that the best miniseries, I'll give Love Do a couple. My favorite miniseries of 2006 was Annihilation, and so I've been picking up all the Annihilation Conquest stuff. And I have to say that so far the main series for that's been really good, and I also have to say that out of the three miniseries, the Star-Lord was the best one because it was written by Keith Giffen, and I can't remember who the artist on that was, but I really enjoyed his artwork on that book, so I'm really digging the Annihilation Conquest stuff.
And your worst?
Well, actually, I have another best.
Oh, go ahead.
That would be Loners, written by C.B. Sobolski, and again, I can't remember who the artist is, but I really dug his artwork on that book. Mm-hmm. It finished up, and I have to say I really enjoyed it up until the last issue, where it just was really just weird and random because they had these fight scenes, and then they had some stuff brought up that was unresolved, and then they ended with it back at where it began, and it just seemed really weird and out of place with the rest of the series. And one of my favorite characters, Phil Urich, the fourth Green Goblin, he became a little super psycho crazy and went off the deep end pretty far. And I'm still not sure how I feel about that, but I really enjoyed, for the most part, I really enjoyed that one. I suggest people to check that out. And for the crap, I've pretty much stuck when I picked up any miniseries, I've pretty much gotten all the issues except for Iron Man Hypervelocity, which I read up until issue 2, and it was just like, what the fuck? I had no idea what was going on in that book, and I dropped it at issue 2 because it was just making no sense whatsoever. But also, I have to say, Omega Flight was really pointless, and because it's just because they seem to have a lot of American heroes coming into it, and not really any Canadian. And then they had the Wrecking Crew finding demons and stuff, and it's just like, what?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was just really just weird. It was really weird. Yeah, the art was good, and that was the same for Civil War. The art on that was great, but the story was not really that good.
Well, I disagree, but anyway.
Okay.
I like the story on both. I don't know. It's just the way I am. I'm going to go in the corner now.
Aw, Dennis.
Brent, give me your favorite and your what the fuck.
What the fuck, World War Hulk Frontline?
Oh, yeah.
And what the fuck, World War Hulk Gamma Corps?
That's just called, it worked with Civil War.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, and your favorite?
I don't know, I didn't really have a favorite. They're all okay.
What was your favorite okay?
The only ones I really read were those two and World War Hulk. That's about it that I read. Everything else was ongoing.
Well, I'm glad that World War Hulk was your favorite. Okay, all right, moving on.
No, actually, World War Hulk X-Men I thought was better than World War Hulk.
Huh, interesting.
3 issues, slam, bang, wang, done.
Nice. Yeah, see, I didn't bother picking that up, but I'll probably end up picking up one of those. I'm sure it's going to have a World War Hulk crossovers book, a trade paperback or something like that. And if that's in there, then I'll definitely read it. Jen, give me your favorite and your blech.
Oh, man. X-23 Target X, hands down, was my favorite mini. I think she's one of my favorite characters. If, as everyone said, if you say Wolverine clone to somebody, you just hear the, oh my god, head smack. But they've really developed her well, and this was really good. This kind of showed her kind of on the cusp of being in the new X-Men. And the art was gorgeous. I love Choi and Oback. Just absolutely phenomenal. And They dealt with Kimura, her like Sabretooth like character, really quickly after this too, because it was, I didn't want to drag on. So they kind of dealt with it after the fact is really well too. So it was integrated well into what's happening, and it was also a very excellent contained story. The loners get the tie. I totally fell upon the loners. Like, that was a random, that looks interesting, grab it off the shelf, and it turned out to be excellent. And it had all these kind of characters that have crossed Spider-Man's path in it as well. So it was kind of cool to see these random characters that I'd seen in old back issues, like Phil and Darkhawk and, you know, Maddie, the bajillionth Spider-Woman, and all this. And it was genuinely really good. I love C.B. Sobolski's writing. It had wit, and it showed some characters really coming into their own, or perhaps going backwards in some cases. Illuminati gets the nod for just being kind of an original concept.
Shit, yes! That's what I forgot.
Oh, man.
That's my favorite.
I got upstaged.
Yeah, it was good.
Thank you.
I dug it. I kind of skimmed the first couple parts because some of those stories that they pertain to were a bit before my time, reading-wise. But once they got into the Skrull, like not only the Skrull, but kind of the first couple books before Skrull, it was genuinely really intriguing to see. As for the big what the fuck, Omega Flight, I want to be the polite Canadian, say thanks for the thought, but thanks for loading our team full up with your own guys. That was really nice. Thanks. We appreciate, you know, a Canadian team again, but U.S. Agent Arachne, the Guardian wearing a Canadian flag costume is American. It was just, come on. You know, I get, I like the Michael Pointer character, but they could have at least justified not changing at least the pattern or something of the costume and not make him like the fourth Guardian or however many there have been. The story itself was pretty lame. Why the heck did Beta Ray Bill show up? I don't know.
Because he's Beta Ray Bill, damn it.
And if you're going to defeat demons, you need a god.
Yes.
God. Yeah, literally. It was just, I don't know. But one thing the series did do was it made me care about Sasquatch, which has never happened before. So
you got the crap kicked out of him.
Yeah, but I liked the whole first issue when he's in the class of the kids, and it kind of goes up. At least we see Shaman's daughter or whatever, and they make up like the 2% of the team that are actually Canadian. One thing that was kind of funny was that it was such an exaggerated Canadian's view of America's problems, though. Like, they really made us out to seem like bitter assholes about your bad guys coming up here and stuff. It was a little much, but I did like it. It was okay, but it still kind of fits in the what the fuck type category, just for the U.S. agent and Arachne bringing her daughter up to Canada with her. Like, I don't get it. Yeah, that's, thanks for the thought, but you can have him back.
What if we don't want him back?
Then make up some other lame Avengers West Coast or something again and just drop them there.
Stick them in the negative zone.
What if we call them Avengers Canada?
Great. Border guards.
State.
No, it's like border guards, Avengers, you know, and where they just kind of do customs all day.
Ooh.
It'd be fun.
My favorite, both of these technically started in 06, however they finished in 07, so I'm going to mention both of them. Wisdom. The Max series that came out, all about Pete Wisdom, which is actually based in continuity. This is not an outside of continuity Max title like Punisher. This is an in-continuity Max title, and it was stupendous. It was absolutely great. I didn't actually start reading it until literally a month ago, because I heard great things about it. I picked up every issue but one at CGS 300, and I finally picked up the one issue I was missing and started reading it. And it's by one of the writers of Doctor Who, who's actually going to be the guy who's writing New Excalibur now that Chris Claremont's leaving. And you've got Pete Wisdom running this team, this like team that takes care of all the supernatural stuff in Britain. I think it's like MI7 or something like that, or MI8. And his team consists of a pixie that he has to marry in order to keep up relations between the pixie world and the real world, or else they'll invade. A Skrull that likes dressing up like John Lennon.
He was heard stories about that guy.
Yeah, he was actually part of the, literally, the Skrull invasion, because they had Skrulls that were dressed like the Beatles that were going to take over the world by dressing up as the Beatles and like brainwashing people's minds. Obviously, they failed, and they stuck around.
If someone doesn't know anything about Pete Wisdom at all and didn't like Excalibur, will this be a series to still pick up?
Oh, you're damn right it will be.
Because I've been wanting to learn more about that character since I kind of skimmed an issue.
Well, most importantly, this series does not forget that Pete Wisdom was once married to a certain Kitty Pryde.
Nice.
Yeah, because that so often gets swept under the rug.
It's true, yeah. That was, yeah, because Colossus is all back and astonishing and everything. And,
right, right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he even, like, I mean, he's still got a picture of her on his bed. He's obviously still depressed about them no longer being together. There's, like, a Captain America-type character that's, like, lost in time. That's, like, the British version of Captain America, almost. That he's in it. It's not Captain Britain, however, although he does show up in the last issue.
Mm-hmm. UK agent?
I think that might actually be it, actually. No, but it's, like, a name like that. And there was also one other character who, she had psychic abilities, only as opposed to giving you suggestions, she literally takes over people's minds. That's her
nice.
Power. And everybody in this was so well written. I'm looking forward to his first new Excalibur issue. I'm picking that up right away. So that was
nice.
Definitely my favorite. Another one I'm going to mention, which literally split fandom down the middle as to whether or not you loved it or hated it. It started in November 06, ended in 07. Again, a reason why I'm mentioning it is Spider-Man Reign.
That split us.
It certainly split us, because I've always been a huge fan of Dark Knight Returns. This was the Dark Knight Returns for Spider-Man. You know, it was grim, it was gritty, it was rough, it was tough. They obviously had some characters in it which were straight homages to Dark Knight Returns. Sure, there was Radioactive Spider-Sploosh, but at least the world that Kari Andrews created was just so well thought out, and the characters had such an interesting voice to them that I just really enjoyed the series. I'll mention Avengers Illuminati also, because that was also great. New Warriors I've been enjoying a lot. But I'd say my worst miniseries, and it sort of pains me to say this, because I was a huge fan of MC2 for a long time. Mm-hmm. Fantastic Five.
Wasn't there an Avengers Next one that came out too?
Yeah, that one I actually liked. Mm-hmm. That one I actually liked. But Fantastic Five, I read the first two issues and I was like, okay, what, huh? it just, nothing interesting happened all throughout that miniseries. And not only that, but the main point of Fantastic Five was that eventually the Fantastic Four was able to get back together. You know, Reed was back with Sue. Sue was out of the, like, peril she was in at MC2, and all was well with the world. Spoilers, at the end of Fantastic Five, everything's fucked again. And I'm like, why did you bother doing this? You had things set. I was happy to see Reed and Sue back in the Fantastic Four, and everything was nice and happy. Now you've got Fizzlelord, Franklin Richards, in a Ben Grimm situation where his powers went haywire and his physiology changed. So now he's forced to wear this, like, mask to stop him, and, like, everybody's trying to fix him. So it's literally the Ben Grimm syndrome. You've got Reed Richards and Dr. Doom are now, like, their consciousness is somewhere out there in the world, but their bodies are still alive. Sue leaves the team out of distress, and the new team consists of Ben Grimm's daughter, Fizzlelord, Human Torch, Elijah, and the Thing. No, thank you. I'm done. I'm done.
Falco.
Yeah.
I'll make a lot more. When the next episode of Amazing Spider-Cast is up, that'll make a lot more sense. Okay.
We ended up blaming DeFalco for everything for, like, no reason, just because we were getting tired.
And, you know, I'll actually piggyback on that and saying that Amazing Spider-Girl, I actually ended up dropping because I really hated the writing in it.
Really?
And, yeah, and I think Ron Frenz, I mean, he's a fantastic artist. I mean, he really needs more work, mm-hmm. because his art is fantastic, but
just stories just weren't interesting, and I was really just picking it up for the Hobgoblin, because I love the Roderick Kingsley Hobgoblin villain. But then Tom DeFalco had him doing the self-narration, my name is Roderick Kingsley, and I'm the Hobgoblin. You know, and I hate that at the beginning of every issue of Amazing Spider-Man. My name is Mayday Parker, and I'm the daughter of Spider-Man. Despite they have a recap page, and probably the only people buying the title are the hardcore Spider-Girl fans out there, and they really don't need to waste space. And he had the same thing going in the 90s, and so we were kind of ragging on him for that, or at least I was. But, yeah, I mean, I just don't really dig DeFalco's writing. Like, he wrote the Green Goblin series in the 90s, which is one of my favorites. But just all this recent stuff he's doing, I'm just not digging at all.
I cannot believe that yet another anniversary of Spider-Girl has come along.
Exactly.
No kidding.
Like the text.
Yeah, most people when they first saw this on the stands were like, "Ah, it's never going to last." But it still is to me the only true continuation of the 90s Spider-Man out there.
It's not in continuity.
It is for me. It is for me. This is the continuity for people who like the 90s.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that, but I'd love to see Baby May in the regular 616 universe.
Oh, but that's a story that's yet to be told.
Oh, yes, that's right.
The last 10 years.
DeFalco.
But for
every single time you say DeFalco, I think of Falco.
From Star Fox?
Rock me, Amadeus.
Oh. Rock me, Amadeus. I love that. There's a new commercial I was using that was had me all happy.
Yeah. Good times. Good times.
That's true.
All right, so let's move it forward to the most beloved creative team of 2007. And Brent, let's begin with you, and I hope that your answer is more than just a name.
I'd have to say, God.
DeFalco.
Frickin' A, you had to pick me.
God is not a creative team, I'm sorry.
He should be.
Although technically he is, but you know, let's not get started on that.
I'm going to have to say Brian Bendis and Lineal U, because I like his new scratchy style and stuff, even though a lot of people didn't have, but I still love the way he writes Spider-Man and all that, so
yeah.
Got to give props to him. And I think Lineal U does some of the best work out there. He just needs an inker sometimes.
Oh, he certainly needs an inker. Oh, he definitely needs an inker. Oh, somebody needs to ink his work.
But after that, I put Bendis and Chung on Illuminati.
Nice.
Yeah. For the three issues that we got this year.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm going to go Brubaker Epting, because that is the best damn team out there. I'm going to go with Brubaker Lark, because that's also the second best team out there. The number three team is... this is the most difficult thing for me to say, though. I'm going to have to go with the team on The Order, Matt Fraction and Barry Kitson, because I'm very much enjoying that. Oh, and the current team on She-Hulk, because Peter David's back on it, and that's awesome. All right, switching over, next person to speak shall be Chris. Speak.
Okay, no love for Brubaker, Fraction, and Aja?
Okay.
Because I thought you were like saying, okay, number three is... Brubaker, Fraction, and Aja on the Immortal Iron
Fist. I was considering going through everybody, but the problem is I don't read Immortal Iron Fist, even though I should.
So,
yeah. Thank God, someone else, because I just know that I'm in the minority.
Yeah, I know. I will read it eventually, but it's just not on my to-read right now. So, you know, you can only pick up so many books.
You have to be able to eat during the week.
Right,
so.
Exactly, and I don't want to have to eat comics. They're not very nutritious.
Well, the fiber.
Yes, but that's all they are.
That's true.
All right, so go ahead, Chris. You rock.
I've got two. First, Daniel Way and the team of Javier Salteres and Mark Teixeira on Ghost Rider, because the art is just gorgeous on Teixeira and Salteres. And then Daniel Ray, though I know...
I'm sorry, you went the wrong way.
Even though I know you don't really take his stuff, I think he writes Ghost Rider really well, and I'm Wikipediaing the second pick I have, so you'll bear with me for a second.
Greg Land.
Humberto Ramos, totally.
Land! I absolutely hate that he draws people as if they are supermodels. Oh, wait. It's because he takes reference from supermodels.
Oh, not just any supermodels.
Oh, yeah. Maxim supermodels.
Yeah,
I was going to say porn supermodels, but...
Well, we're all clearly Maxim girls.
Yes.
So.
I'm a Maxim girl, actually.
Wow.
That's the world I someday want to live in.
Out.
Yeah. Let me make sure to actually like play this for your girlfriend.
Hey, my girlfriend's hot. She might as well be a Maxim supermodel, so whatever.
Oh, you totally just saved yourself there. Congratulations, sir. Congratulations.
Okay,
maybe
I got
make her listen to this now.
I got the second team, and it's CB Cebulski and Carl Moline, I want to say. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. The team on Loners, because I'd never seen Carl's artwork before, and I thought it was just excellent. Cool. And I thought CB Cebulski wrote a really good story on Loners. That's my second pick.
And over to Jen.
I have a lot of one writer or one separate artist that I like, but the main big team that I am super behind this year was Kyle and Yost and Choi and Obak doing the X-23 mini. Choi, I just love his art, as I kind of went on about already, but I love that the original guys that created the character are still doing stuff to do with X-23 and the new X-Men. It just works for me. I really loved it. Other than that, I love Cebulski's writing. I loved Slott's writing this year. And as for art, I enjoyed Ron Garney's a lot. And probably I should stick Ramos as who got the Really Grew on Me award.
See, Ramos is good when he's not drawing X-Men, you know, because...
That's...
My problem
with... I like the X-Men.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, he draws everybody young.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't need to be young.
And on that one X-Men cover, he drew Colossus retarded.
Yeah.
I know, like, I totally get it, but I just, I like that style for some reason, and I have no idea why.
Well, yeah, I mean, I love his style on Impulse, I love his style on New X-Men, I love his style on young characters. Like, even
it
on,
does
even
really
on Spider-Man,
suit.
Even on Spider-Man it worked.
You have you ever read Death in the Family?
Yes, I believe I did.
And you liked his art on that?
Yes, I believe I did.
Ooh.
Okay.
Chris sounds happy.
he's like, that's it. I'm not going to talk for the rest of this podcast.
I just loved...
Hey,
I really...
Different strokes for different folks. Okay?
Yeah.
So.
It grew on me. Like, I started out hating him just as much as everybody else. But as I read his adjectiveless X-Men, I really loved the way he did certain characters. Mm-hmm. And it just totally, totally grew on me with Rogue, his Cannonball, his Iceman, his Cyclops even. But I think it suits new X-Men more. And he's still a crap ton better than Scotty Young.
And, okay, see, I sort of like Scotty Young, so I'm going to have to disagree with that. But
I'm not hating Scotty Young, but I like Ramos better.
Right, sure, yeah. No, that I'll agree with. That I'll agree with. I like Scotty Young, but I like Humberto Ramos more. I think when comparing Humberto Ramos' art to Chris Bachalo's, on X-Men, I certainly choose Humberto Ramos.
Yeah, same.
Because Chris Bachalo, I believe, draws with the opposite hand than he should. If he's a lefty, he draws with his right hand.
I think he uses his feet.
Oh, okay.
That's my theory.
You don't like his X-Men stuff?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
We just got the preview pages for Amazing Spider-Man, and oh, it's not looking so good.
Oh, boy.
How'd you get those?
They're online.
Oh, I've seen those then.
I mean, we have connections, honest.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I knows the peoples.
Yeah, we know the
peoples. Peter, David, and Mayer are like this.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that you like Bachalo's stuff on X-Men Casino?
I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
But the Spider-Man stuff I've seen, I'm kind of wary of.
Yeah. Although, actually...
LaRocca on there.
I've said this a couple times on the show. Bachalo is better when he's rushed. Because when he's rushed, he doesn't have time to draw so many frickin' lines. It's like when you look at the first two issues of that Age of Apocalypse miniseries he did, and you then look at the next like four that were all like after he missed 2 months or something like that and started doing it again, he was rushing through the entire thing and it looked great.
Jeez.
He's the only artist that looks better when rushed. That's it. Oh, and we of course forgot to mention, you know, the best creative team of 2007 by far. You know, J. Michael Straczynski and Joe Quesada. You know, I mean, that's. That's one for the ages right there, folks.
Oh, God.
Well, do you want to talk about One More Day?
Oh, boy. Well, we talked about One More Day a lot on the last episode, so I don't want to go that far into it, but you can do a quick rant on it if you want. Okay, just a quick note to all our loyal listeners. The reason why Chris seems so, I guess, optimistic at this point is because we recorded this about, I think it was about a week and a day before One More Day actually finished up. We usually record on Thursdays, and due to the holidays and all that, well, everything was about, I think it was 3 days later, because things usually come out on Wednesdays, things were coming out on Friday, so that's, I guess, okay, 2 days later at the comic book shops than usual at that point. So, again, during this conversation, Chris has yet to have read part four of One More Day. If you'd actually like to see what Chris thinks of One More Day now that it is finished, and also me for that matter, because I was on his episode as well, make sure to check out episode 55 of Amazing Spider-Cast, and you'll be able to find out everybody's opinions on that, because Jen was on it, and I was on it, and Chris was on it, and also their buddy Travis was on it as well. And I think it turned out really well also, so make sure to check that out on the Amazing Spider-Cast website. We will discuss One More Day on the show as sort of a beginning to the DC wrap-up episode. That one's already been recorded as well, so we got two in the can here. This is the one that I'm releasing now, and the DC wrap-up one will be next week, with some One More Day added at the beginning. And we sort of go back to that insanely time after time on the episode, so this is going to be a lot of fun. So, again, just a heads up on that. This is why things sound so interesting on this, because this was before our hearts got broken.
Okay, well, I'll say that I think that since the beginning of it, J. Michael Straczynski's writing has been solid. Chokusai's art has gotten better each issue, I think. I mean, you can rag on it all you want, but I think that his Mephisto in the last part of it was just fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
There's two things that I'm worried. Well, the one thing I really hate about One More Day is the extras, quote-unquote, that are in the back of each issue. To pad it out to 48 pages just so that they can jack up the price a buck, and there are extras nobody gives a crap about, like hot new entries and then like pages so you run out and buy like a Silver Surfer omnibus or a Birth of Venom trade or just crap like that that nobody cares about, and it's just really just to make it seem more important because they're bumping it up a buck. We've heard J. Michael Straczynski say that he was sort of under editorial mandate to write the story a certain way, which is kind of looking in the direction like he's trying to get out of it now before the issue actually hits, or like told to like say put something out like that out just to make everybody think that the marriage is going to end. But I don't really think that's the case. But I'm totally of the opinion that if the marriage is in fact gotten rid of, I will be dropping Amazing. And I really don't want to do that because I love Spider-Man. I mean, I have a podcast about Spider-Man. He's my favorite.
Well, there goes your podcast, then.
I'm going to be reading it still.
Yeah, dude, seriously, how are you going to do that?
Well, I've got the first two arcs ordered because they came out before the resolution of One More Day. Uh-huh. So I've got those two arcs ordered. And then I'll just drop it, and there's a lot of stuff we can talk about that isn't going on right now.
Oh, boy.
So.
I am going to be reading it myself, though, so I'll probably talk about it.
Okay.
I just really think it's useless to get rid of 20 years of character development for no reason at all.
Well, no, I was just going to say, you're going to have to change the name of the show from, like, Amazing Spider-Cast to, like, Spectacular Spider-Cast or something like that. Because, you know, if you're going to be talking about the old books, then, you know, you'll be, like, Sensational Spider-Cast or Web of Spider-Cast.
Well, you see, we're going to be doing it. The arc in all three issues of the arc for the month in one episode. So we'll still have like a whole 3/4 of a month of stuff to do.
Cool.
So it's not like we're going to be trying to grasp for something to do.
Right.
But just I think that, you know, Joe Quesada is just a moron in thinking that he needs Spider-Man to be young. He's one of the characters in comics who's just progressed so much. I mean, we've seen him grow from high school to in college to, you know, having all these various girlfriends, including Gwen Stacy and what happened with that. And we've seen him marry, and we've seen him, you know, have the possibility of being a father. And we've seen that get thrown away because editorial at Marvel sucks.
And he's just been through so much with Mary Jane, and just for them to throw away the marriage for, you know, no reason at all other than that he needs to be young and, you know, he needs to have a supporting cast, even though they have Ultimate Spider-Man and Marvel Adventures Spider-Man with a young Peter Parker they can toy around with. And as for the whole consolidation of Amazing into one title, I've said this many times before, but what they had with Amazing, Sensational, and Friendly is they had three different aspects of Spider-Man's universe. Amazing was the core title, the title that was directly with the Marvel Universe. The Friendly Neighborhood was the fun jokester Spider-Man that you could, you know, have fun with, but also it could have serious moments at times. And Sensational was for the weird, you know, offbeat Spider-Man stories. And now all you have is just the core title. That's it. So you've just killed two-thirds of your window into his universe.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but you're getting it three times a month.
Well, yeah, but you were getting Friendly, Sensational, and Amazing three times a month, too.
Yeah, but I can finish those lame-ass story arcs faster than I could the other one.
Well, yeah, but still, you only have one aspect of the universe.
I think Brent just pwned you.
Yeah, well, he likes Asriel, so.
Oh! Oh, he went there. He totally went there. See, this is what I like. I like the drag them out, knuckle dragging wars on Comic Timing. That's good stuff. That's good times. But you know what? I do kind of hope that the new stuff is good. But you know, if it's not, then I'll be dropping it too. So I'll be riding your boat.
And it's not like they
guys can row together.
It's not like they picked crap talent on it either. I mean, we've got Dan Slott, Steve McNiven, Salvador LaRocca. I mean, we have Bob Gale, which I don't know how that's going to work out, but. And apparently John Romita Jr. is supposed to be on there sometime. But
yeah,
they picked top talent for it.
Well, Junior is going to be doing the backups in, I believe, the first issue that comes out.
Yeah, I did read that they were going to put backup stuff in there.
Yeah. I missed that.
Yeah,
yeah, Junior's doing the backup, and there's going to be a Greg Land.
Oh, shudder.
What?
Yep.
What's the backup going to be? Just like random other stories? Kind of like...
The first issue is $3.99. They have to justify it.
Well, no, it's going to be 48 pages, but it's going to be 48 pages of story.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Well, that's better than bios and Wikipedia entries.
Hey, well, I mean, I'm going to say one thing here, and I don't know whether or not it's true. I don't know whether or not it's false, but I'm just going to make this statement here. This is totally my opinion. Other people can vary. I believe that if this Spider-Man experiment fails, Joe Quesada will be out of a job.
Really?
Very much likely.
I believe that this is such a major change here with Marvel Comics to rid them of 20 years of, you know, continuity like this. And I've been talking about it the past couple of days with some people that I know, and they've been, you know, having their opinions on it that are slightly varied, but some agree, some don't. I firmly, firmly believe that I'd say 6 months into the year, if Spider-Man has dropped back down to where it used to be or possibly below where it used to be, Joe Quesada will be looking for a job elsewhere.
I don't know anything about the politics of how the corporation works or who sends down their orders to Quesada or who says who's got the job and everything, but I definitely think there is a high percentage of a chance that those sales will drop regardless of whether the story is good or not. Mm-hmm. And they still get rid of the marriage. Like, even if they get rid of the marriage and these new, brand new day issues are awesome, I still think there's a huge possibility that they'll lose a ton of sales for doing that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm in the same boat.
And if you look around the internet, there's a lot of people who are saying that if, you know, they end the marriage, then they're off. Now, there are some people that are like, well, we're going to stop buying all the Marvel titles, and I'm not nearly that
stupid.
Crazy. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not going to sacrifice the other titles I'm enjoying because of something that happens in one aspect of it. I'm just going to drop what's being ruined, essentially, by Quesada.
Well, those are like the guys who were like, I'm not liking Countdown anymore. I'm going to drop every single DC book.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, are you still liking the other books? Yeah, but Countdown sucks.
Well, it does.
That's what the internet has done to all fandoms, though.
Oh, boy.
Made a bunch of people who talk.
I don't want to get into this episode because we literally will be talking about this for the next hour and a half if we start talking about it now. This might be something
all right,
that's
no
in
worries.
The future, if you want to bring it up on another show, I'll be more than happy to talk about it, but we literally will be on for 4 hours if we do. If we start talking
it's
about
all
it now.
Good. It's all good. I know what you're saying.
Okay. All right. Let's actually get back on track here. Let's go to, I guess, the last thing that we were going to be talking about on this episode here is what are you looking forward to the most in 2008? And I'm going to start here because I haven't actually started anything yet. I believe the whole Secret Invasion thing has me so hyped because who's a Skrull? Everybody out there, who is a Skrull? It could be anybody that we've been reading over the past couple of months. Anybody could be the enemy.
And they've been planning for this how long? Since it disassembled, almost?
Pretty much, yeah.
Bendis and that's really exciting.
Yeah. Oh, no question about it. Like, I mean, for all we know, maybe Hawkeye didn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he did die in that explosion. Or better yet, what
maybe
if the Hawkeye who died was a Skrull? Right. We
yep.
got all these questions about there. Maybe Spider-Man has a black costume and a red and blue costume because black costume is the fake and red and blue is the real one. We don't know. We don't know right now. Anybody could be a Skrull, and that's what makes 2008 so exciting for me. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to the Hitch Miller Fantastic Four. Looking forward to it for two reasons. Number one, I think they're going to do a great job. Number two, will they be able to pull off a monthly basis? If they can, they go back on my top.
As someone who reads Fantastic Four, what do you want to see happen? Because just for example, I myself have done nothing but ever skimmed Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. So what kind of things do you want to see happen this year in Fantastic Four that will bring in new readers?
I want to see them remember that they're a family. I don't want to see them all of a sudden be a team because that's not what the Fantastic Four are. They're a family. Always have been. I want to see some space adventure. I want to see some technology. Like perhaps maybe like Reed creates a new technology and it goes haywire or something like that. I want to see character building as well. Perhaps Johnny gets a girlfriend or, you know, maybe perhaps even engaged. Who knows? I want to see growth.
That'd be cool.
And advancement.
That would pull me in.
Oh, definitely. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And I think that Miller and Hitch will bring something like that to the table.
Nice.
So that's what I'm looking forward to the most in 2008. Fantastic Four and Secret Invasion, no question. Let's send it over to you, Jen.
First and foremost, it's hands down obvious, but I'm really looking forward to seeing Spider-Man not be crossing over with crap. And just not – I know we're going to get another event, but it's going to be a more subtle one. It's not like it's going to be Civil War taking over every book fully.
Yeah.
So there's that, of course. But the main thing that's really popping my head is I really want to see – them not screw up the X-Books too much. Unfortunately, I believe what they had was working. So it kind of bums me out that they're doing a bit of a shuffle, but whatever. As for storylines and books and stuff, please give Deadpool something. Put him in something, please! You know, it's a, like, apparently I keep hearing whispers of something in 2008 for him.
Agent X.
But
Agent X, please, for the
I would love to see. Yeah, I would love to see an Agency X based book and just have him be part of that team.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could have people really? Walk in and out of that. You could have him be hired by any other Marvel character, whatever. And just get that old Deadpool feeling from maybe the middle range of his first series. You know, just give him something for people to fall back on. That is really enjoyable and maybe even fun.
Okay, how's this? Agency X, written by Dan Slott.
Oh my god!
With art by the current art team.
Oh my god, that would rock so hard. Like, honestly, Slott, it'd be nice to see someone other than Nitya do a modern Deadpool because
right.
Slott totally would nail that.
Oh yeah.
He'd be all over that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, I really love the way Deadpool's drawn right now, so I'll definitely, I'm with you on it for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see Alex get skinny again.
Who knows? Yeah. anything else you're looking forward to, or is that it?
Just new X-Men. I think I want to see them kind of grow up a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Stop being little brats.
And have a title.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping, God, this young X-Men thing is going to be them, because I really hate to see them get dropped or split up into different books.
Actually, it's going to be the X-Babies.
Oh, nice. Excellent. It'd be like X-Baby Babies or something.
Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. Send it over to you, Chris.
There's actually a lot of things I'm looking forward to in 2008. I'm looking forward to X-Force because then I'll get a monthly dose of Clayton Crane is one of my favorite artists out there. I'm looking forward to Secret Invasion because it's shaping up to be a really good miniseries, I think. I think it's going to be really good. I'm also looking forward to If the Marriage Isn't Completely Screwed, This Brand New Day. If, like I said, it'll be great if the marriage isn't destroyed, but if it is, then that'll sort of just pretty much deaden my thoughts on it. But if it's not, then I'm interested to see what they do with it if the marriage isn't just wrecked by one more day. But I have to say the thing I'm looking forward to most is probably the Iron Man movie.
Okay.
I'm just really, really hyped for that because the trailer looked amazing. You know, all the armor, the computer-generated effects with the armor just look fantastic, and I'm just really looking forward to that.
You know, it's funny, until the Dark Knight trailer came out, I was looking forward to Iron Man more than the Dark Knight trailer, but then the Dark Knight trailer came out, and I'm like, you swung me. You bastards swung me.
It does look fantastic, yeah.
What about Ant-Man and Initiative?
You know, I'm waiting for the hardcover trade release of that because I want to just, because I'm really, Initiative, I picked up the Spider-Man tie-ins with it, and I've kind of enjoyed it. But I just want to have all the Eric O'Grady in just one shot. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to see if Dan Slott's, because I'm a little worried about someone other than Robert Kirkman writing his character, but it's Dan Slott. So I do have high hopes that he'll be able to, you know, still be able to write him like he was in
Spokesman. I don't think they could do better than Dan Slott for Ant-Man.
Yeah, like if someone was going to take over from Robert Kirkman, Dan Slott would be the guy. So I'm looking forward to see what he does with the character.
Yeah. And Brett?
Secret Invasion, Fantastic Four, and Brand New Day.
All right, Brett.
Yeah, that sums it up. I mean, you guys said everything else, right?
Yeah, I think so.
You know,
I'm looking forward to more Thor, actually. I'm really liking that book right now, Thor.
Yeah, Thor's been pretty good, because JMS writes great stuff when he starts, so hopefully he'll continue on that path.
I guess I'm in the minority again, but just looking at the preview pages, I wasn't blown away by Hitch's art. So, and also I think that they should have stayed on Ultimates, because apparently it's gone all to hell with that album.
Read my rant on the Comic Timing on the Comic Timing website.
That was well done, sir.
I have never been more incensed.
Yeah. One thing that I'm glad I pulled off, though, was that I haven't read Ultimates 1 and 2 yet, so I'm not hating as much as everybody else. So at least I'm kind of open-minded to it still. I read issue 1, and I don't hate it like everyone else, so I'm kind of glad that maybe I haven't got the first two yet.
Just,
I'm probably going to hate it after.
Please, for the love of God, get a new colorist. Please. That will keep me on the book if Joe Mad's art actually looks like art and not crap. That's been smeared onto a page.
They put the real colored art on like a piece of glass or underneath a piece of glass, and then Joe Mad's colors took a shit in his bathroom, took the crap, smeared it all over the glass until you could see through it, and then scanned it in. After it dried, of course.
You know what? You know what's sad is you might be on the right track.
Or he's painting it, but he like takes his crap and mix it in with his paint,
or
and somehow gets it digitally. So all the red and the blues are mixed in with crap that way. You know,
I thought it was just done in the Wild West.
It's really dusty New York City, yeah.
Oh God. It's not that dusty in New York City. Come on, man.
There's a tumbleweed going by right
Ultimates
now.
3, it's all brown.
Yes, but only when drawn there. And come on, Twincest. Fucking Twincest.
Oh, that's like dude, that's fan fiction stuff.
I know.
Yeah, like the last time I saw that was like Good Charlotte fan fiction. Dude.
Ew.
Oh,
not that I was looking for it.
Well, at least it's not like Dick Grayson, Bruce Wayne porn.
Oh, good old
whoa!
Gotta love it.
Oh man, jeez!
Yikes!
There's Cable and Deadpool out there too. Don't you even think that we're free from it.
So yeah, let's move on to the forum comments, because if I talk about this anymore, I might actually vomit in my mouth. We had two different threads on this, so I'm gonna go to the Comic Timing forums first, and let's go to Wraithmaker. Yay, Raph, Geese Unite, woo! All right, series of the year from Marvel. For me, it's a tie between Immortal Iron Fist and Nova. Both have delivered way more than people would have expected. Thank you for mentioning Nova, because I almost forgot to mention it.
Nova and thank you for mentioning Immortal Iron Fist.
Yes, yes, but Nova has been great.
I was on Nova for the first arc, but I had to drop it because I had to eat.
Aw.
It was the same kind of Iron Fist situation.
Well, it's okay. Brent dropped it, too.
Yep, that drops after issue 3.
Yeah,
after
yeah same thing.
Penance. I am the dark soul that eats your brains when you're not looking.
Dennis?
DeFalco?
Dennis.
Oh, dude, that's how it should happen, okay? Penance should give the suit to Dennis.
How's he going to drink beer through that mask, though? Jeez.
Painfully. Hello, a straw.
Well, not only that, but how's it? What about his eyeliner, man? Like, how is he...
Applied over the mask. I'm having way too much fun with this voice. He's got black sponges around his eyes inside the mask. So he dips them in ink before he puts the mask on.
You know,
but it's on underneath.
It's been a while since we've been recording at 1 a.m.
Wow. That's okay.
It's been a while. All right, here we go. Biggest letdown for Marvel, Mighty Avengers. The book came out on my birthday. That was 9 months ago. I'm already planning the celebrations for MegaCon. Bagley's already supposedly working on the next weekly series. His run on Mighty Avengers has been finished. Grading the mega events. Annihilation, A! Delivered way more than I could have expected. Laid the groundwork for my favorite new series and made Annihilus one bad mother. Shut your mouth. I'm only talking about Annihilus. Come on, we can dig it.
Yeah, I thought Annihilation was better than Civil War, actually.
I'm in that camp. And did you actually pick up the What If Annihilation?
Oh, yeah.
That was so good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, because that's literally what would have happened.
And it's what should have happened.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What if Annihilation happened and came to Earth during Civil War? Whole thing would have been fucked. All right. World War Hulk. I give it a B. I didn't hate the ending like most people. I was a little disappointed with a month delay. Issue 3 was not necessary. This could have been 3 36-page issues, or maybe 4 issues of The Incredible Hulk. I'm sort of fascinated by the subsequent series that are going to be coming out, but only getting Scar, Hulk, and Incredible Herc. Annihilation Conquest prequels. A. Rocket Raccoon. Nova dying and returning. Moondragon? I'm a bit mixed on that. The series leading up to it were great. Only one issue of Conquest out, so I'll be talking about it in a year. Mother effin' Wraith, though. Aww. There, Raph. There. You can just spell it differently.
Looking can we talk about Conquest number one?
Actually read it yet, so don't.
Okay, I gotcha. But Rocket Raccoon, I gotta say, yeah, that was fantastic. And he was in that Star-Lord mini, so nice. I definitely suggest picking that up.
Yeah, I'm like, I still have to read, like, I think issue 3 and 4 of all of the miniseries, and then I have to first read Annihilation Conquest. I'm way behind.
Gotcha.
All right.
Just wait. The last page of Annihilation Conquest is just excellent.
Awesome. Looking forward to Secret Invasion, Annihilation Conquest, more Iron Fist, Amazing Spider-Man, one more delay. Finally original. Finishing in June. You heard me. Joe Q's going to delay it again. And, of course, more Darkhawk?
Wow.
What?
Apparently Red Loners.
Loners.
Oh, yeah. I love me some.
I want to see Phil showing up in something, please.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he'll show up in Spider-Girl.
Oh. Dude, he hasn't been in the whole thing.
Yeah,
since I know.
All right. Let's move on to Andrew here, Black Scarf. You know, I had to stop and think for a second if I picked up even one Marvel book this year. I had. I picked up Thor number 1 and must say, it didn't grab me like I thought it would. Guess I can't add much to Marvel conversation this time. To me, more than any other year I can remember, and there was a time I picked up plenty of Marvel. Marvel, to me, did not seem to have very many jump-on points for new readers, or old readers like me looking to jump back on. It all seemed mixed up in events, and I didn't see one title that screamed to me to try that I wouldn't be lost right at the onset. Was it just me? Andrew, well, here's a question. Was it just him?
No. Or wait, yes. I'd have to say that Avengers Initiative was a good jump-on point. You could just start fresh from there. They pretty much told you everything you needed to know to read that book. Mm-hmm. Certainly, The Order, new series starting out, you know, similar to Initiative. And I think you could have grabbed Cap 25, just read that he died.
That's all, folks.
And then just take it, you know, Bucky is the Winter Soldier and he's back alive, and just take it from there. You know,
yeah. I think
he missed a lot of good ones.
Yeah, $4. But I do agree with him when he says that it was a bogged down in events, because it really was, because we had Civil War, and then we had the Initiative stuff going on, and then we had World War Hulk, and now One More Day and Spider-Man. So really, it has been Back in Black and Spider-Man. So it's really been just event after event after event. So I can see where it's coming from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Personally, this year was the year I jumped on everything. So I know this is going to sound really stupid, but in an age with Wikipedia, Marvel database, Marvel having their own bios, countless fan sites, message boards, is jumping on points really a big reason these days to not jump on?
Well, that's the thing, though. The collector's mentality still exists.
Oh, okay.
You know, because a lot of people say, well, I don't want to start picking up a series at issue 14.
You know, I'm more of a reader, so I understand where that comes from, but I'm just not one of, like, it's not me.
Right.
So I know what you're saying, though, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if that is the reason, then I can understand it. But like you said, though, there are plenty of ways to catch up.
See, but Marvel should be the easier one to jump into, because every title has a recap page.
Yeah.
DC doesn't.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And actually,
I didn't have a problem jumping on stuff, you know? I kind of disagree.
This is going to spoil a bit what I'm going to talk about on next week's DC one, but I actually think Marvel had a better year than DC this year. And I was in the complete opposite camp last year. And, I mean, Brent can attest to that, because, you know, he was on the episodes when we were talking about it. But I just think that Marvel's done so many good things this year when it comes to their universe that I have never been more excited about Marvel, really. And, I mean, I was listening to Just Bill's comic Drawbox, and he was talking about the same thing, that, like, he's never been more excited about Marvel. I'm in almost the exact same spot. I cannot get enough about this whole Secret Invasion thing.
That's funny, because I was actually going to pose that question, is which year did you think was better, Marvel or DC? And I'm actually leaning towards DC on that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because it just seems that I really enjoy DC more than Marvel this year. And I've always been more of a Marvel fan than DC, but all the titles that, you know, Booster Gold and what's going on in Batman and Sinestro Corps War,
yeah,
kicking all kinds of ass all over the place.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you do mention that, but I'm talking more on a grand scale. On a wide scale. Because, like, I mean, I love Booster Gold. I absolutely adored the Sinestro Corps. But the main backbone of DC has been Countdown. And Countdown's been a bit of a letdown.
Well, yeah, I can see when you're talking about that. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, like, all this other stuff might be happening in DC, sure. But how many other books have talked about Sinestro Corps? How many other books have talked about Booster Gold?
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from that. But, I was kind of looking at, if you want to look at it, which universe did more for its universe, then it was definitely Marvel.
Yeah.
But for me, just basing it on what came out this year, DC, I thought I enjoyed more than
right.
Marvel.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, again, there's plenty of DC books. In fact, I still, to this day, and this used to be the opposite, I still buy more DC books than I buy Marvel. I'm just looking forward to 2008 so much more with Marvel than DC, but what are you going to do? Hopefully Final Crisis will change my mind.
Well, because we know what Secret Invasion is about. We don't know what Final Crisis is about yet.
Right. Well, no, Final Crisis is obviously going to be, you know, Bruce Wayne dying and become a new god, you know?
A new god.
Right. All right, Brent, you want to cover Torque Song?
Yeah. we only had one post over in the CGS forums because you're lazy. We only did post today, like at 3 o'clock. So,
right.
You can blame us. We're lazy. Anyway, Torch on.
I was making latkes. All right.
Okay. Well, you could have told me last night too.
I know.
They're tasty. That's an excellent excuse. They're tasty.
Yep.
All right, Torch Song. He's been on the show before. How did the ramification of Civil War and World War Hulk affect the Marvel Universe for you? Civil War, quite a bit. It's good to see Marvel's not sweeping the ramifications of it under the carpet too quickly. I'm a huge Iron Man fan and actually enjoying the fact that he's kind of an asshole these days. He's a lot more interesting that way. World War Hulk, not so much. Seems to me they took a really great idea, promised the moon, and then kind of dropped the ball and left it hanging there. I guess maybe I was expecting more. Were you a fan of Replacement Fantastic Four, or better yet, did you like them more than the original group? To me, there are only four members of the FF, and their names are Reed, Sue, Ben, and Johnny. Anytime you screw with that, you lose my interest. Sorry to say. Do you view the battle between Reg and Anti-Reg to be a progressive story point, or is it time to switch gears? I just want to point out, this is me right here, that if you put A instead of E, rag and anti-rag, we'd be talking about tampons.
Oh. No comment.
Oh, Brent. Sometimes you prove your age.
I love that he chose a show with the girl on it to do that, too.
Uh-huh.
All right, anyway. Reg and anti-Reg has story point. It's time to switch gears. Where I live, immigration is a huge issue. And I've always kind of seen Civil War as a sort of parallel to that. It's interesting that many of these heroes are already American citizens but have to register as powered individuals. I think that given the amount of hype and time that was put into this, it needs to stick around for a while for it to have any real teeth. I mean, this could be the next Crisis or it could be the next Clone Saga. And it's really up to Marvel to screw that up. With the death of Captain America, is Iron Man the new face of the Marvel U? I'd love to say yes, because Tony's my favorite Marvel character. Really, though, when I think Marvel, I've always thought Spidey, and I don't think that's changed. In terms of best book out right now, Iron Fist is the face of Marvel, but that's just my humble opinion.
Fist!
X-Verse. Mired in crossovers, or did Messiah Complex and Endangered Species give you what you were looking for? Sadly, most of my X-Men pleasure comes from essentials and back trades that let me remember when things were a lot simpler. Astonishing is bringing that back, so I'll keep my fingers crossed. Favorite Marvel of the movie of the year? You can kick my ass, but I love the hell out of Ghost Rider.
Put the monkey back on!
I want a comic book movie to make me smile and not take itself too seriously. I got that from Ghost Rider. It also helped going into it knowing that Cage is a comic book geek as well, and just felt overall that it gave me what I wanted from a comic book movie. Fantastic Four 2 did the same thing. If you can call it a flop, I would say Spider-Man 3 delivered on at least what I was hoping for, but that doesn't necessarily make it a bad movie. What storyline are you looking forward to? Well, who doesn't want to know who a Skrull is, eh? And that A is actually in there. I didn't add that
A.
For Canadian sake.
My brethren.
Were you most beloved creative team of 2007? Iron Fist came out of the gate and kicked everyone's ass this year, and I'm hoping it will continue to do so. And finally, who is a Skrull? Geez, did anybody see the March teaser for Miss Marvel? She better frickin' not be a Skrull, because after all the muscle Marvel has put behind that book, it'll really wreck it. I'm betting at least one of the Fantastic Four has to be in that number. Possibly Reed, because he's been kind of a doofus lately.
Huh.
And Raph has one says, I think Marvel is cool, but also sucks a lot. Yep. And I think he just did that to add to his post count, which is currently, as of this point, 6,496.
Actually, the last time I updated this page, it was officially at 6,500.
Oh.
So congratulations to Raph for finally padding his post that far.
Yeah, big loser.
Oh, snap. Yeah, we all are. But I'm glad he brought up Reed, because I wasn't even thinking about that. They could pretty easily, like, mimic Fantastic Four guys, you know, because it's the Super Skrull.
Yeah.
That's a question I'll be asking once we're done with all this, obviously. But Bob Brittle, JLA fan, has this to say. Not a hallmark Marvel year for me at the broad strokes, though there have been moments of greatness. The bad. I have been relatively unamused with Marvel's ability to wrap up events this year. Civil War, Silent War. Oh, wow, I forgot entirely about Silent War. Holy crap. World War Hulk. They just cannot seem to end the war to my satisfaction. The one event bright spot was Annihilation. Did that wrap up in 2007? Yeah, it did. So technically, that's still in there.
January.
Yeah. I was also disappointed in the White Tiger miniseries and started out really strong and had a really weak ending. Loners also had an ending that failed to satisfy me, as we talked about. Marvel Comics Presents was an inauspicious return to the anthology format. I agree. I've read one issue so far. I don't really feel like reading the second.
I've read all four, and basically the only reason I even pick it up is because it kind of continues Omega Flight. Everything else is pretty throw it in the garbage-ish.
The Spider-Man one was all right, but it's just not that good.
I skipped over that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're not missing much. Delays were also a big part of Marvel's year, notably beginning the year with the Civil War delays and ending with the one more delay storyline in Spider-Man. The good things, Annihilation Conquest and its related minis. Nova, I love this new series. Yay, Nova love. MODOK's 11. Actually, that's one I heard so many good things about, and yet another one that I didn't pick up. I'll have to pick it up and trade. Daredevil and Captain America, which can almost be said in the same breath because Brubaker's doing such a good job on both, and Iron Fist. My favorite creative team at Marvel in 2007, Ed Brubaker and Matt Fraction. I guess that wraps it for me. So there we go. His creative team's favorite guys writing stuff were Brubaker and Fraction, and he's not that far off with that. So thank you, Bob, for the stuff. And yet again, love for Nova is good for me.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying Nova too. And about Daredevil, I want to say that issue 100 was great because we got some new John Romita Sr. art in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did you see that? Well, I'm sure you probably did, but the cover he did for, what was it, 96 or something like that? That was
94. Actually where I jumped. That's where I jumped on Daredevil, actually.
That's a wonderful throwback.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. All right, and we got the Man of 1,000 podcast, David Price, posting, so Brent, take it away.
All right, ramifications of Civil War and World War Hulk. Civil War made it more interesting. Yeah, we have some heroes hunting heroes, but we have teams in place with characters that we would not have expected teaming up. We've had years and years of the way things were, and years of hero meeting hero, and a battle ensues due to miscommunication. This time it was on a somewhat larger scale. Nothing wrong with a shakeup. Hulk. Too early to tell. Is it Bruce? Why Red? Why Herc? I need more time to dwell on this. Fan of replacement FF. Yes, I was a fan of the creative team and the team that temporarily comprised Fantastic Four. Better than the original? No, but they were different, and that's more important than an attempt to replace Reed and Sue. Battle between Rag and Anti-Rag. Positive.
Come on.
Now, see, I'm just going to take that as a battle between really bad
oily
newspapers
rags.
And
oily rags.
Newspapers.
Because, oh
you know, they call, like, the tabloids rags. Yeah. So, there you go. Yeah.
Daily Planet versus Daily Bugle.
Is he talking about the Identity Crisis artist?
Yeah.
Who knows?
It took me a minute there. Jeez. Are you a Rags Morales fan or are you not a Rags Morales fan?
All right. Battle between Reg and Anti-Reg. Positive. There are still stories to be told. Death of Captain America. Iron Man the new face? No. Captain America was a character the heroes of the Marvel Universe looked up to, but I don't think Iron Man can fully take on that role. He's always been someone other heroes could work with or go to, but it's asking a lot for someone to fill a void left by Captain America, and to have that character accepted. X-verse Modern crossovers. Prior to Messiah Complex, what was the last X-Men crossover? Does House of M count? Technically, yes. If not, since it was solely Marvel's mutants, do we count Onslaught? Mutant Massacre? Inferno? The way Messiah Complex, capital X, is going, I think I'm getting what I want. I haven't been following the X-Files as nearly as heavily as I used to. There are a lot of characters that I do not know. We seem to be getting back to basics now. Makes me look forward to what's coming. Favorite Marvel movie? I really enjoyed Ghost Rider.
Italian.
Functional retard.
I took it too, so I guess me and him are on the same wavelength here.
I'm sorry. Anybody says the word Ghost Rider, I just break out into one of those two lines. I'm sorry.
I really enjoyed Ghost Rider.
Italian.
I think that was the only Marvel movie I've seen this year. And he runs the Marvel Noise podcast? Shame on you, David.
Ooh.
Come on. Come on. Ooh. Calling you out on that.
Hey, he's the Man of 1,000 podcast. He's not a Man of 1,000 Marvel movies.
Well, he should be. Come on. Anyway, what storylines are you most looking forward to in 2008? Secret Invasion! post-Messiah complex. Most beloved creative team of 2007. And he lists a bunch here. McDuffie, Pelletier, Magyar, Mounts, Fantastic Four. JMS, Coypel, Thor.
Coypel.
Fraction and Kitson, The Order. Guggenheim and Ramos, Wolverine. Yeah, I like that one.
It was good.
Baker, Lark, Daredevil. Bendis, Reed, Chung, New Avengers, Illuminati. Bendis, Yu, New Avengers. Bendis, Cho, Mighty Avengers. Of course, can you list your favorite Marvel comics of the year? My favorites, The Order, Thor, Annihilation, Conquest, Star-Lord, New Avengers, Illuminati, Criminal, Avengers, The Initiative, Captain America, Immortal Iron Fist, Mighty Avengers, New Avengers, Daredevil, Nova, and Punisher. Scratching my head, Ultimates 3. And finally, who is a Skrull? Echo, maybe Iron Fist. The New Avengers, Iron Fist, not the one in his title.
Huh. You know, that actually kind of makes some sense right there.
Yeah, with the costume differences and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knows? Although, it would kind of suck if the one in his own title was a Skrull.
I doubt.
Yeah, Ben Reilly's a Skrull, definitely.
Yep.
Let's ask that question to the crowd here, folks. It's the best question to ask and the best question to end on. Who is a Skrull? And let's take Aunt May out of this.
Damn it.
All right, sorry. She's already been claimed. We all know that she's been a Skrull for years, ever since that damn actress was around. So.
Oh, God, don't even bring that up.
And also, the Scarlet Spiders are Scarlet Spiders, but they're not Skrulls or clones.
Actually, they are clones.
Damn it, they're clones. Yeah, you're right. Fricka fracka.
But you don't know who?
They're not robotic clones like Thor, though.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, and also, we can't mention Jarvis, because he already had his Skrull, not Skrull test. He just didn't talk about it in the book, so... Let's talk about
screwing it.
Oh, come on.
Too many rules. I don't want to play this game.
Yeah, I don't like rules.
All right, fine. Everybody's a Skrull. Let's move on. All right. Jen, who's a Skrull?
Oh, crap. To be completely honest, I haven't put a ton of thought into it because I'm really enjoying the ride of just not overanalyzing it and just kind of being, like, looking for little hints but not going insane with it. I'd like to see... I don't know. I'd like to see it not touch Spider-Man, though, to be honest, because...
Don't touch Spider-Man the wrong way, or he will...
Exactly.
Charges.
Bad place. Not where bathing suits cover.
No web fluids in your vagina.
Oh!
And you'll get cancer.
Oh, spider splooge.
Organic web shooter splooge. I want to see
something about
villains
recording after
scroll. Maybe some resurrected villains be Skrulls. I don't know. Like I
haven't the Wrecking Crew died like 4 times?
Yes. Yeah. Omega Flight. Yeah, they're all Skrulls. All of Canada. Yeah.
That would be awesome. Canada. Who's a Skrull?
I don't want one of those chins. I don't want one of those chins. They're ugly. Anyway.
I totally know who is a Skrull. All right? This is going to solve every problem I have ever had with the Marvel Universe. No, I'm not talking Tony Stark. I'm talking Penance. Penance.
I thought you were going to the Watcher.
Penance is a frickin' Skrull. That would explain how, A, he doesn't bleed to death in that frickin' suit, because he just, you know, like changes his appearance, and they're actually, like, false tips on the inside.
Maybe they're made of rubber.
That's possible. That's certainly possible. Two, I fucking hate Penance and want him to go away. So that's why he must be a Skrull.
Oh, he's still less annoying than Speedball, though, so...
No! I like Speedball.
Are you serious?
Yes!
Balls. Ian Levenstein likes fastballs.
And I believe Speedball was like co-created by Steve Ditko, so...
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, yes, indeed. That's why he should come back and not as Penance. Oh, and also, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Spider-Woman.
Really?
Yeah, because what
looks like the preview image.
Well, what better way to swerve people than by taking the dead body of a Skrull to the other side?
Maybe she's a Skrull, but she's a traitor to the Skrull.
Like, you mean like Lajah?
She likes, yeah.
Huh?
Maybe she is Lajah.
Oh, wow. That's heavy, man. That's heavy.
Where is Lajah as of now?
Cleveland.
That Edelman.
I don't really know where she is, because after a while they sort of forgot she existed. The last time she showed up was in the Marvel Zombies arc of Black Panther, and that was an alternate reality, Elijah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I have no idea where she is right now. But Chris, who's a Skrull?
I'm going to go with Norman Osborn.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Because looking at it, I mean, I think that maybe Norman's lying low a little bit, and this, that is, because if you think about it, I mean, Norman's in control of the Thunderbolts, and maybe he's been put in a strategic place by the Skrulls to have these supervillains, like, in a position where he could possibly use them if the need arose. So, it just seems that a Skrull in that kind of position of power would be a strategic advantage. And so I think that they either have Norman or maybe Norman's lying low somewhere.
Well, makes sense to me. Brent?
I'm going to have to go with somebody who's been acting really suspicious as of late. I'm going to say Jim Segulin. He was, at first, you know, not a very big comics fan and didn't know a lot. And then now when you're listening to Raging Bullets, after a year, he knows a whole lot. And it just seems like it's out of nowhere. So he's acting really suspicious to me.
You know, I'm going to have to send this segment to Sean and Jim so they can play it on the show now.
You should.
The truth must be told. The whatnot is a Skrull.
I'm going to...
And actually, though, I think it would be interesting for Captain Marvel to be a Skrull.
Yeah.
Just have, like, the worst prepared Skrull and say, go to the negative zone and look like Captain Marvel. And then just show up, and he's like, huh? I don't know anything. Iron Man? What's up?
I'm not even supposed to be here.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, you're dead. And he's like, what? Really? Oh, yeah, I'll be your negative zone warden. Just blow up the whole damn place when you want me to. Or when my master's
true. Is this a battle of Skrull, then?
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd like to see one of the kids in the kiddie teams be Skrull, like Maddie Franklin or one of the kind of either loner or
I know.
UX.
Oakling is a Skrull.
Ooh.
Yeah, he is.
He really is.
I know. Gotcha.
Yeah.
LOL. My bad.
But you know what? Actually, how about the fact that... Okay, who read Avengers The Initiative Annual?
I did.
Okay. Not yet.
Okay, you haven't read it yet, but you're going to?
In my shipment.
Okay, so you don't want me to spoil it, in other words.
Negative.
Okay, all right. Well, then I can't talk about it, but there's a big development in there related to Secret Invasion.
Yes, that's, and a good one at that.
Yeah, that's along the lines of what was just mentioned about possibly the young being Skrulls. So I'm not going to give anything away, but it's huge. So it's going to have major ramifications. I just thought of something, and I think I might actually be on the right track on this. What about Doctor Doom?
I was thinking that too, actually. He hasn't done this much this year.
Yeah, after this whole symbiote thing that he did.
We don't know yet.
Or is doing. Yeah, I mean, we don't really know for certain whether it actually is him, because it might just be a swerve. But, but
it got spoiled.
figures. Lovely.
Whoops, we weren't supposed to say that, were we?
Not to us, at least.
Oh, really?
It's all good.
Yeah,
oh, well,
I kind of remember that.
I'll enjoy the Bagley art anyway.
Okay. New Avengers spoiled it already. Okay, all right, sorry. It was bound to happen eventually, though, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
All right,
yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Still pretty.
Okay, I do it to him every episode somehow, so don't worry.
All right, good. So for once it wasn't you.
Exactly. Nice.
But yeah, he, they do say that, like, at least they're swerved to believe that he's the guy behind the whole symbiote thing. So, What if he is the Skrull? Because we haven't actually really gotten a firm explanation as to how he got out of hell in the first place. Back in the whole Waringo Wade run, that's where Dr. Doom ended up. And then he somehow happened to get out of hell. They gave an explanation, but I still don't buy it.
He hooked up a trailer to Ghost Rider.
No, he brought down the Meatloaf record. Right out of hell and started playing it nonstop.
Wait, was that one?
And
or
the
two?
Devil said, all three of them. Anyway, and the devil said, I'm so tired of those fucking records, get the hell out.
Then he started playing Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Exactly. And somehow ended up in Oklahoma.
And of course, Highway to Hell. No, there we go. He took the Highway to Hell out of Georgia.
Hell's bells.
Into Oklahoma.
And rang Hell's bells as he was on his way out. Exactly.
It's brilliant.
It's totally 1:42 in the morning.
It totally is.
But Dr. Doom, I'm going for it.
I agree with you there.
Sweet.
That'd be cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the mailman for the Fantastic Four.
Stan Lee is a Skrull?
Yes.
Yeah.
Stan Lee.
Lumpkin.
Not Stan Lee.
Yep. Stan Lee.
Oh, no.
You bastard.
All right. I think we've done everything we could. Before we go,
if you want to listen to 3-hour episodes, come to the Amazing Spider-Cast.
I was just going to say, hey, Chris, you want to plug your show?
Yes, I would love to. Thank you. It's the Amazing Spider-Cast.libsyn.com. That's LIBSYN.com.
Please mention the site I just spent like 3 months designing.
I was going to get to that.
All right.
God.
What would you like to give out the site? Because I don't know the
address.
You guys
are like an old married couple.
True. You should see a text. No. www.theamazingspidercast.cjb.net is our fancy new website.
Does CJB stand for Cool Gen Baby or Canadian Gen Baby?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, clearly, which is a Skrull.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a really great record of all our each show. And
wow, that looks really cool.
Thanks.
Oh, no, an ad came up. I can't see it. Skip this ad.
If there's a problem with the ads or anything, like some people do, you can go to freewebs.com/TheAmazingSpiderCast as well.
Cool.
Because, you know, some people get annoyed with that, so.
Nice.
But, yeah, there we have, like, a record and description of each episode and extra stuff that we'd kind of just dump on there if we don't want to, like, have a 3-hour episode for 1 week.
Yeah, and you guys are finishing the Clone Saga, which will...
Yes.
When's it going to be?
We've already finished it. It's going to be up Saturday.
Cool. Well, don't you have your, like, wrap-up, your Clone Saga wrap-up or whatever? That's
That'll be next Saturday. Okay. Yep, next Saturday. The episode this Saturday is going to be the second half of the 90s discussion. And then the Saturday after that will be... we're planning on having Bob Retall and Chris Gallo on, and we're all going to compare the three Clone Sagas, pretty much. Just wrap it all up.
I love how incestuous the podcasting community is, because those are my last two guests for the last two episodes.
All right. There we go.
Rock.
Oh, boy. Good times. And I've been listening to your show now since, what, 48 or whatever, 47? And
somewhere around there, yeah.
I'm hooked, you bastards. So I'm listening to those 3-hour episodes, and I'm just cracking the fuck up. So
don't listen to him. He's sucking up. I started at episode 1.
Oh.
Oh, if you've been cracking up, then just wait until the next episode, because
we like no holds barred. It was ridiculous.
Midnight to like 4 in the morning, and we were like totally insane. So you'll be cracking up.
Well, no, still, but I'll just be waiting for that you know, that recovery episode where you finally play the two voicemails, and then I'll be cracking up because those are me.
Nice.
Yes, and they're hilarious. So there we go.
I can't wait to actually hear them. That'll be cool too.
Yeah, I love how you're leaving her in suspense. So
yeah, totally.
I know. Somebody's got to be surprised.
Yeah. Oh boy, good times. Oh, and also, I'm gonna call Brent out on being a liar.
Ooh.
Yeah, no worries. We knew. We were being polite.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Yeah,
I did listen early on, though. Just summer got in the way.
He's just on his
reset my
reg.
Computer 5 times.
Yeah.
Brent's is on his reg.
See, if you're... All right, before we go here, I got a promo, because a certain person finally made a promo after all this time. He's been podcasting for 2.5 years, and he finally has a promo. So here we go with that.
We've got a couple of fun shows coming up in the Comics Cast feed this week. First up, we have episode 3 of the Orphan Toons podcast. You may be familiar with Rudolph and Frosty, but Rachel Newstead and Kevin Wallenweber have unearthed some Christmas tunes that probably aren't in your TV listings, but should be. Join them as they discuss such animated rarities as Fleischer's Christmas Comes But Once a Year, Columbia's Little Match Girl, MGM's The Captain's Christmas, and the Academy Award-winning nominated harmonizing masterpiece, Peace on Earth, and quite a few more. They're Rachel and Kevin's favorites, and with any luck, they'll become yours as well. And then, on the 90th episode of the newly retooled Comics Cast, Lyle Tucker and Van Reed join me in re-examining the first six Thor stories from Journey into Mystery, 83 through 88. After providing a synopsis for each story, we examine the stories and art, and we try to track the genesis of a great character while also putting the stories into Marvel's historical perspective. We're three guys who first discovered Thor over 40 years ago. We hope you'll join us. You can find these shows at comicscast.libsyn.com. That's comics and cast with a K, .libsyn.com.
Oh, Magoo, you've done it again.
Definitely go check that out. Bruce is one of the nicest guys I've ever met, and he does a great podcast. And like I said, for the first time in 2.5 years, he finally has himself a promo, so I had to play that on the show. So definitely great for Bruce. Want to let you guys know that I was on the most recent, well, not the most recent at this point, episode 32 of the Pop Cult Online, which was actually the podcasting episode. So you can go ahead and check that out at the, I believe it's the popcult.libsyn.com. And also was on Geeks Unite episode 13, which just came out, the year-end special, which is on video games. And I was a part of that along with Juan and Jeremy Spurlock. I believe that's his name. So go ahead and check those out. And, hey, Brent, you're on stuff. Talk about it.
Can't.
Really? Why?
Top secret.
Oh, really?
That's cause not really. Nothing's happened.
Oh, boy. Hey, tell them about those BK's bullets that you've been talking about for the last 2 months.
Yeah, that never come out.
Yeah, tell them about it anyway.
So, yeah, I had this BK's Bullets recorded about the first two episodes of the Smallville season, and now here we are in mid-season, and it's going to be really awkward to listen to whenever it comes out. So, yeah. I hope they put it at the beginning of the episode, not the end. All I have to say.
It's okay. Yeah. We'll all be doing the time warp.
Let's do the time warp again.
Roxanne!
Was that your only BK's Bullets you recorded, or was there another one? I forget.
Yeah, that's the only one I have recorded right now.
Okay, cool. You still doing the Emperor Joker one?
Eventually.
Okay, sweet. Awesome. That was a good story, so good times. You can find that over at RagingBullets.com, and they just put out their 100th recording. So certainly listen to that if you have not. It's wonderful, wonderful stuff. So, all right, we're done with this monster here. These guys have got to record again sometime in the near future, so I want to leave them
tomorrow.
With voices. Oh, tomorrow. Hey,
actually.
No, technically it's today, so, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's true. Ooh, I hate technicalness.
So, first of all, I want to thank Jen for joining us for the second week in a row. She's a trooper on that.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, good to have you.
That's awesome.
Yes, it's good times indeed. I've said that like 40 times all episode, but this has been good times. And
good
I want
time.
To thank Chris for being on for the first time and possibly not the last time.
Oh, definitely. I'd love to come back. I had a great time chatting with you, Ian, and I had a great time meeting Brent, although I'm a little scared about his fondness for Asriel now.
You know what? When I first started talking to Brent, I was scared about his fondness for Asriel, too. You know what? I still am.
All right. Glad I'm not the only one.
Uh-huh. All right, folks, let's end this off here. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com/forum. Graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcasts.com. And we're also proud members of the League of Comic Book Podcasters. Check it out at comicbooknoise.com/league. And I believe sometime this week, the Noisy Awards will finally be released as to who won what. And I've got about three different winners that I read off on that show, so go ahead and check that out also. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. Leave us iTunes reviews if you can. And please dig us on dig.com. So for Brent, for Chris, and for Jen, I'm Skrull Ian, reminding everybody out there that there's Skrull always, Skrull time, Skrull comics. This is a total sidetrack, and it'll probably end up in the back. I finally listened to Amy Winehouse's, you know, rehab song.
Man,
I couldn't help but laugh hysterically at that. All right, because if there's anybody in the world who needs to go to rehab, it is that fucker.
Keith Richards.
Keith Richards, dude. Keith Richards' body is actually made of coke.
He's come on.
He's transcended the human form.
Yes, he is the first mutant actually on the planet. His body is made entirely of cocaine. He's living cocaine.
His blood's been replaced a few times, man.
Who here has seen Metalocalypse? Anybody?
Todd.
Perfect,
like,
perfect.
Damn it. Okay, because there's one character in that that's supposed to be like a David Lee Roth. His name is Dr. Roxo. He's the rock and roll clown. And his favorite line to say is, "My name's Dr. Roxo, and I do cocaine." all right, let's go back into actual shit. But seriously though, I cannot listen to Amy Winehouse's music without cracking up. Go to rehab, I say, no.
Is every song about her going to rehab, or people wanting her to go to rehab?
Pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That and her daddy issues.
I'd imagine that if you need it that badly, people are wanting you to go to rehab all the time.
Yeah. Britney!
Well, she's got fodder for songwriting, at least for the next...
No, Britney's is, "I'm not gonna raise my sister's kid, no.
She can't raise her own, man.
No, she raises them very well. Actually, her and Michael Jackson go to throw your baby out of window courses.
Oh, the wind.
All right, let's get going with this, because I have a feeling it's going to take us a while. All right. Yep, nothing quite like a long podcast. Nobody's used to that.
I know, we never do that. We keep it at half an hour, fuck the rest.
Right, sure.
Exactly.
So the Clone Saga, it happened. All right, everybody, that was the show. Take care.
Ben Reilly, hate him or love him. That's it.
3-hour episodes? Nah, we wouldn't do that.
Oh, I can't wait to unlock Scarlet Spider and Ultimate Alliance. All right, okay, here we go.
Oh.
No!
Yes!
I will not code it, damn it.
Spidey's a weak guy in that game, so I'll be honest, I never even use him.
Well, I'm assuming that you unlock that costume with, like, the one of the story missions.
Code?
Code? And Jen will be playing part of the person who says nothing but code all episode long.
And cheese.
Code.
HTML. Visual Basic. Cheats.
Peter killed Gwen Stacy.
You get a bonus point, Ian. There you go. I razor every time we record. I always always. That actually made moment of the year for the best of 2007 for the Amazing Spider-Cast.
Sweet.
Fuck.
That'll be on your grave. Who is Gwen Stacy?
Gwen Stacy is a series of tubes.
That's what Norman said.
It's not a series of tubes you can just dump stuff in or something, some shit like that. What was it?
Yeah, not only does Norman Osborn kill her, he also fucks her.
We pretend that doesn't happen.
Yeah. I'm glad that didn't happen in 2007. All right. I'm talking motherfucking Falco and shit. Falco?
Pac-Man?
Oh. It's me, you bitches, and I'm high on crack. Wanna freebase?
No, Pac-Man. Nope. Drugs are bad.
Pussies.
I love that someone else on this planet remembers that song, because I swear, that's the only thing I think of whenever I hear Amadeus by Falco.
I'm gonna go with whoever's cell phone just rang. Because that's an awesome team.
I wonder what the song was.
Oh.
It was Roxanne, wasn't it?
It was Brent. I'm assuming he's answering the phone, so he can't actually laugh with us. Damn you. All right. Let me get back to what I was saying. Okay, all right. I'm losing my voice. You know what? Hold on. I'm going to take this moment to go grab something from the fridge, so I'll be right back.
Cool. Give me a beer.
Okay.
DeFalco.
DeFalco, you don't have to put on the red light.
Ew, dude. Ew.
Well, he doesn't.
Sick.
Sorry. Sorry.
Not.
Toasty.
Totally forgot
Toy
about
Santa.
That.
Well, was it the girlfriend?
Yeah.
How's she doing, by the way, after her situation?
She emailed the principal. The principal apologized, and she filled out a police report.
Okay. Good. That works.
Well, wait, what?
I totally wanted to do that just so everybody else would be like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Well, it looks like you succeeded, my friend.
She was out last night at a club, and there's some big black guy, and they got into it, and I was at home. She got, like, punched out and stuff.
You lying fucker.
I was like, what's that have to do with the principal?
And the principal came in and tried to, you know, break him up, but she actually punched him.
Yeah, that was it. Exactly.
Oh, man. That's great. All right. All right, let me start over from what I was saying before your cell phone interrupted me. All right.
Best.
Okay, so
Marge teacher for
Miss Marjol. Wow, dude, this is like crossing over to The Simpsons now.
Miss Margarine.
Miss Margarine. Miss.
Can't believe it's not butter.
I'm more of a Miss Butter fan.
Okay, yeah, me too. Anyway,
that's the spray stuff.
Delays were also a big part of Marvel's.
There are still stories to be sold.
Sold. If your show was about the amazing Azrael cast, then he'd listen.
Yeah.
I'd be masturbating to that thing now.
Oh. Quick, somebody make one. It'll be funny.
Oh, Jesus frickin' Christ, man. Oh,
jeez. What time is it again?
That's going in the back.
That's going in the back for, like, every fucking episode, man. Jesus.
Oh. Damn, we ended
puking
up
is fun. Like, it's like seeing hide your insides.
You know, I've never quite heard it put that way before.
I'm creative.
Okay.
But, like, so we record from, like, midnight to 4 in the morning on Saturday.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, and we got, like, really just crazy. I mean, you'll hear it in the episode, but, yeah, we got crazy.
That sounds familiar, right, Brent?
No, of course not.
Right, sure.
And so, I already knew this was going to suck because I had to get up for church the next morning at, like, 8 in the morning.
Uh-huh. LOL.
And so, I got up for that. I went to church, and then I hung out, and I was going to listen to the episode. So I was going to listen to the episode, which I do so I can check and see what needs to be edited, and with this one, there was a lot that needed to be edited, so I tried listening to it, and I ended up sleeping, like, 11 hours. So,
nice.
Yeah. And then I've just had, like, a crappy week.
I'm about a half hour into the episode 53, and I just actually successfully made sweet potato latkes today, so I'm a very happy person.
I love those.
Nice.
Considering that I've only cooked, like, I think 3 things in my life at this point, and I didn't poison anybody with this, that makes me a happy person.
How'd you pull that off?
Magic.
Jewish traveler. Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Yeah, I called upon Jewish traveler, and he gave me the recipe.
I couldn't help myself with that one. I'm like, wow, I gotta say something about this, or it's gonna come out of my mouth.
So you want latkes? What? All right, fine. Poof, you got latkes. Get Peter Parker to go to church already. Oh, temple. Whatever. I don't care.